recording you're about to listen to consists of several sections. The first is today's Daf Yomi from the 12th cycle of the International Daf Yomi, followed by a brief review that allows you to listen to the entire Daf in between 5 to 10 minutes. That is followed by the same exact Daf from the previous cycle 7.5 years ago, in which there were different people attending and there's a different ambience. Choose the one you enjoy the most, or perhaps listen to one and then listen to the other for review. Enjoy. Today's Daf in Besechet Kritut brought to you ben Chomot Yerushalayim is Daf Chof, and we are holding on Daf Yutet Amud Beit. And before we begin, I would like to do a comprehensive review of where we're holding at this point, because the sugya is quite complex, and somehow I feel I've lost my audience. So let's look again at the Mishnah, and we'll try to concentrate on this latest piece. Now, the Mishnah Yotet Amud Aleph spoke about a case where a person was not quite sure what it is that he did. Did he eat chelef? Did he eat dam? Did he do malacha on Shabbat or in Yom Kippur? We had a lot of different explanations of the Machlokas Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yoshua. There is one simple statement at the beginning of the Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer is Mechayev Chatas, even though he doesn't know precisely what he did, and Rabbi Yoshua Patas Umechatas. On that Machlokas, we had a number of comments. First of all, Rabbi Yossi said, I want to clarify that the Machloket would not include someone who is doing a Malacha between Shabbat and Yom Kippur, because they're perhaps not doing a Malacha at all, since there is a question about whether he did the entire shear on either day. However, Rabbi Yossi takes the Machloket on face value, that it's simply a question of whether you need to know precisely what you did or not. Comes along and defines, redefines the Machlokas that Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Shimon Chazuri, which we'll refer to henceforth just as Rabbi Shimon to keep it short, they say that actually the Machloket at the beginning of the Mishnah between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua, where Rabbi Eliezer is Machayim and Rabbi Yoshua Paters, is not at all as simple as the way you were talking about it. Actually, if a person knows that he definitely did a chet that was all mishem achad, so then there would be no machlokas. The machlokas was, and here is where we get into our first complications, something that involves two different shemot. Now, two different shemot, we understand on the obvious level, means he doesn't even know what it was, whether he was over on Malacha A or he was over on Malacha B. That would be a case of Shnei Shemot. However, there is also a different Shnei Shemot. The simple Shnei Shemot is that question of whether it was Te'inim or Anavim, question of whether he did Ketzira or Techina. But since the question of Shnei Shemot revolves around, according to everyone, the meaning of the Pasuk such that says, V'odai lav chatato asher chatabba. So asher chatabba, we understood the simple meaning the way we took the machlokas in the opening of the Mishnah. Asher chatabba means you have to know the name precisely of the chet that you did. Was it dam or was it chelev? Was it notar? Was it chelev? Was it nida? Was it achot? But when it comes now to this further description, we understand that the question is not involved in the definition of the chet per se, but it's even in the ba per se. In other words, whether you had chosen the, let's take it step by step, three steps, whether you had chosen the Ketzira or the Zemira. I mean, it was basically the same pu'ula, and it's both chilul Shabbos. Whether you had chosen Te'inim or you had chosen Anovim. There, it's even closer. It's both of them are Ketzira. They're both chilul Shabbos.
First two different processes. This is the same process for two different objects.
No, the first one could have included two different objects also. That's not that wasn't the important point. It's that it's only two different objects, and they're both fruits, and they're both desired. The third level is, and here's where we come perilously close to the problem of mitasek. The third level is that since we're assuming that ba is a definition of not only your knowledge of the ba, but what the ba was, so then that would include a case where you were initially mitkaven to do A, and you ended up doing B. So because the pasuk, as Rashi puts it, is referring both to the idea and to the chet. V'hoda alav chatato asher chata ba. So the idea has to be the ba, the chet has to be the ba. So if, in this case, it would be two separate things, a grape or a date, let us say. So over there, even though that you knew b'makataba, but you didn't, you knew what it was, but your original intent had been different, there too, Rabbi Yoshua would have said that you're potter, because you need to have the kavana at the time of the chet, not only at the time of the idea, to know precisely what it was you were going to do. Whereas according to Rabbi Eliezer, the point is, as long as you're a mechavein, but if you found out at the end what it was that you did, that would be sufficient. You would be chayav. Now, comes along now a third definition in the Machlokas of Rabbi Yeshua, and that is Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Afilu nitkaven lilkot te'elim v'liket anavim, anavim v'liket te'enim." Or even if it's the same mean, and it's a question of whether it was te'enim shchorot or levanot, even there, Rabbi Yehoshua would have pottered. And frankly, he continues, most are Gerish Rabbi Yehuda, not Omer Rabbi Shimon. And frankly, to me, honey, I find it exceedingly difficult to accept that someone could have pottered in such a case. So I do not understand why it would be that he would potter it. Now, exactly what he's arguing with, I mean, that seems to be what it was that Rabbi Shimon said. Rabbi Shimon said, Shtei Shemot, meaning, Levanot Shecharot, Teinim, Anavim. I mean, it sounds exactly the same. And today we're going to have to look into more precisely what the Machlokas was between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. But Rabbi Yehuda goes even a step further, and he says, look, I find it difficult to believe that just because it wasn't precisely what it was that you were looking for, therefore it should be potter. After all, it's exactly the same chet. And so what's the problem? Im kein. So you'll say, I mean, what do you mean? But then how would I explain the pasuk? It says asher chataba. Clearly the pasuk is implying that you need to have specific intent and clarity. That's true. But that's mitasek. Now, when he says that's mitasek, he means that's mitasek with a dvar heter, obviously, right? In other words, Rabbi Yehuda is saying, look, all of the cases above, the guy wanted to do Isser. Or did he want to do an Isser in this case? He wanted to do an Isser in that case. Can't believe that that should be an issue. Of course you're chayav there. Where are you, potter? Where are you with mitasek bedvar heter? And you ended up doing an Isser. There, yes, asher chataba, there had to be a desire to be chote in this thing. If not, it's not a shogeg, it's a mitasek. All right, now, it is not at all clear in the subtleties at the end of the Mishnah what exactly the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda is. That's number one. And yesterday, and I'd like to go over this again, the little very last piece, it wasn't clear precisely how the way that Rabbi Shimon was learning the machlokas allows for the question of mitasek on Shabbat. Because what we learned yesterday was that according to Shmuel, Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, there's vaday adin mitasek on Shabbos that you're put. Mitasek on Shabbat, l'chora means, if it's a new din in Melechet Machshevet, that if you wanted to pick even the same tree, teinim v'teinim, anavim v'anavim, kol shekein, if it would be different trees, but even if you would want to pick, this isn't the tree that I wanted. I wanted another tree. So according to him, it's not Melechet Machshevet. This is not what you intended to do. Somehow or other, Shmuel thinks that his statement is consonant with our Mishnah. And that when it would come to be mitatzek on Shabbat, which is clearly what we're referring to about Tishtenim and Anavim, or Shorot and Levanot, that he could fit that into this Mishnah. And that when it would come to mitatzek, that type of mitatzek, the way Tosfos is learning, it's a whole different type of mitatzek, the mitasek of Malachim Machshevet, or the mitasek of Bab, a different, but irrelevant. Certainly that case in the Mishnah was a case of Shabbat. Nonetheless, we find Rabbi Eliezer's Mechayev, and even Rabbi Yeshua's Patrick is only Patrick because it's two different types completely. But if I hadn't come under that tree, that was another tree. There wasn't even a discussion of such a thing. And Rabbi Yehuda was only coming along to talk about mitasek beheter. And the whole point of Malachat Machshevet is even if I'm being mitasek beisur, it just was a different machshava. Yesterday, we had the Gemara, and I want to review it now, in which the Gemara starts, let's say here, about a third of the way down in the big lines. Let's go over it quickly. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Shizuri, Rabbi Shimon Aimrim, Lo Nechleko, Imkein Almer, Ma Nechleko, they were Nechleko only on the case of the two different Minim, the Shechorot, the Levadot, etc., 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 and in the end comes along Rabbi Yehuda to say, Asher Chataba is brought to Mitasek. So let's just go over briefly, says the Gemara, what Shmuel said about the overall issue of Mitasek. So first of all, he said, look, Mitasek Bechalavim Va'arayot, there you're Chayiv Shekein Ne'ne. Now, according to Tosfos, that means the other mitasek, which is the mitasek of ba, and not the mitasek of not having done your machshava precisely, which is a special din in Shabbos and Malachat Machshavet. How Rashi learns this piece is very problematic, since there is no such thing as mitasek b'chalavim if you don't hold of ba. And here we're trying to talk a libid Reb Eliezer, a libid Reb Yehuda. Okay, fine, but that's beyond our discussion. Mitasek b'Shabbat is potter because b'lachan machshevet asrat Torah. Comes along Rava, and he asks Reb Nachman, and what about the case of making a mistake in which kid you're supposed to be mal? And we answer, that's a special case, because b'kalkel b'chabura being chayev means the Torah is not makbid on malachas machshevet, and therefore mitasek would also not be included in that special ptur. Fine. That brings us down to one third of the way up. Eitvei Rabbi Yehuda l'Shmuel. How do you understand the Mishnah? Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says, even if your kavanah was figs, and in the end you get grapes. Grapes, and you get your figs. You wanted to get black, and you got white. White, and you got black. Even there, Rabbi Eliezer is b'chayev, and Rabbi Yeshua is poter. Now, I don't understand. This is totally and completely ignoring the question of mitasek that you just said, that mitasek clearly for Shabbos would be potter. So how in the world are we assuming that in such a case you would be chayev? And for that matter, listen, even Rabbi Yeshua, who says potter, didn't really say potter because of the real mitasek. He said potter because it's the wrong min. But you, Shmuel, were saying that it would have to be mitkayem machshavto entirely. So even if it was the same min, it should be potter because of a different reason. Not because of this asher chataba, but because simply it's not malechet machshavet. So how do you understand the Mishnah b'chlal? Said Shmuel to Rabbi Yeshua, listen, the Mishnah is very misleading. And what I'm asking you to do is trust me and shinina. Forget about the Mishnah. You're right. The lashon of the Mishnah is confusing because it really leaves out a certain amount of information. But I want you to follow me on this. Tabatrai, follow me and understand what the real case is that we're talking about. So that when we have Rabbi Shimon and explaining his case, and Rabbi Yehuda yet arguing and saying that case is not enough, which we'll talk about in a minute, what the difference is between them, the case is not a simple mitasek. In a simple mitasek, you'd be potter completely, according to everybody, because it's mitasek. Here we're talking about where the bottom line is, you got exactly what you were looking for. But the problem is, you forgot what you were looking for. You had a senior moment. So you made up your mind to go and pick some dates. And then you go out, and you think, what did I come out here for? Oh yeah, I needed some figs. But you didn't need figs. You needed grapes. Okay. So nitkavein, what happened is that avad malaket milibo. The guy simply lost track of what he was doing. So initially, nitkavein malaket arabi. That's what he wanted. He goes to pick grapes, and then in the middle, he's confused, and he says, oh, I needed to pick some figs. And he goes to pick the figs, and accidentally he picks the grapes, which is really what he needed. So now the question is, how do we define this case in light of Mitasek? Rebbe Eliezer says, look, the bottom line is he got what he wanted. And this is what he initially had started out to do. So that's called Malakat Makshav. And therefore, Hare Ne'asta Kavanato, or the other gears is Bakashato, the idea being the same. This is what I need. You got what you needed. Rabbi Yeshua says, but that's not enough. Because it isn't the question of the overall determination that defines the question in Mitasek. We need to also have a kiyum of your Makshava. And Makshava is not defined by some profound abstract idea of what I need. It's what my intent is in the movement of my hand now. And therefore, I do not have the combination of the Bakashato and Makshavto. I don't have that. And therefore, I'm potter. But had it been a true case of Mitaseit that didn't have this complication of Avad Melakit Yilibo, everybody, I'm telling you, Zishmul, everybody would have said that. We're certainly not going to discuss a case of that. That's a case of Malakat Makshevet Amrat Torah. And this is not Malakat Makshevet. And this is the way that I square what I'm saying with the Machlokas and the Mishnah. Even if you hold, according to the second interpretation of the Machlokas Reb Eliezer Reb Yehoshua, that we're talking about the difference between one color and another color, or one speech and another speech, the issue is not that we're dealing with the case of Mitasek. We are not dealing at all with Mitasek. Now, the problem is, how exactly do we go on from there that Rabbi Yehuda argues? Because as far as the way you've described things until now, they end up saying exactly the same thing. Mativ Rav Hoshaya. Did we not say that, according to Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, that basically, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehoshua were lo nechlu al dover shu mishem echad shu chayav. Amal nechlu al dover shu mishum shnei shemot. That Rabbi Eliezer is b'chayav katat, and Rabbi Yehoshua is poter. Now, I mean, if assuming that shecharot levanot, as we've been assuming until now, are the equivalent of two completely different meaning, right? So now it turns out that Rabbi Shimon, and again, I'm using Rabbi Shimon as a shortcut for Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Shimon Shazuri. Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Shimon Shazuri were both talking about understanding the machloket of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehoshua in a case of shnei minim. So the case over there would be two trees, one white and one dark. And we're talking nonetheless that that's considered to be not a mitasek, but rather as you defined it. I mean, I assume, otherwise we're really in trouble. We're talking about avad menakeh b'libo, right? So your intent was initially the one that you got, and the question is, how far do we take the idea of makshavto versus bakashato, and so on. Now, so if that's the case, comes along Rabbi Yehuda to say what? Rabbi Yehuda argues, right? Rabbi Yehuda is saying, no, that's not the case. The case is, yes, case is what? You're saying, afilo nitkaven lekotelim leket adavim, levanot v'shechorot, Rabbi Eliezer Mechayev, Rabbi Shur Poter. That's exactly what Rabbi Shimon said. That is shnei minim. That's exactly the difference, is it not? So Rabbi Yehuda Omar upligi. Micah Omar depligi. Can you tell me? What word in Rabbi Yehuda implies to you that there was a machloket? That what? Benitkaven laket anavim v'lakata inim. Shechorot v'leket levanot, right? Or anavim etenim shechorot v'levanot. No, yes. What are these things? These anavim levanot and so on. Or anavim etenim. All of these are fine examples of what? Of shnei shemot. Assuming that we're talking about avad melaket milibo. But that's exactly what Reb Shimon and Reb Shizuri said. So what is Reb Yehuda saying any differently? Reb Yehuda my atalash me'inan. He's got nothing to add over here. Rabbi Shimon was explaining the machlokas of Avad Milakek Milibo. He ended up getting what he wanted. It's shnei minim, and the question would only be because of Avad Milakek Milibo. But if it would have been a case where he was really a mitaseik, it would definitely be potter. That's what we said. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda is saying, even if he was nitkaven, what would you say the machlokas is? Say that we're talking about. I mean, he's saying if it would be one min, you would vadai be chai. I mean, that's what mitasek is, no? So that we're taking for granted now that everybody is assuming here, the Rabbi Shimon, that the case is Ovid Malakit Milibo, then the only thing that Rabbi Yehuda would be saying is that even if we were talking about mitasek, you would be a machloket, potter or chayav. So must be mayatalashminan elalav mitasek ikabinayim. The only thing that's left is mitasek. According to Rabbi Yehuda, mitasek is chayav, and according to Rabbi Shimon, mitasek is patur. What else can he be differing in? He can't be just repeating what they said. So he's got to be saying, they limited it to a case of avan malakek milibo. And I'm saying that even in a case where it was pure mitasek. So apparently what you're saying is by no means muska. And certainly in a case where you're mitasek in the same min, it would seem quite clear that nobody is ready to say mitasek, at least a limited Rabbi Yehuda. So therefore, I must understand it that the nafkamina would be like this, that Rabbi Shimon Shazuri Savri mitasek is patur, and he holds mitasek is chayav. No, says the Gemara, it's very simple. Real mitasek, everybody is modest patur, as we said before. The question over here is all the shitot, Reb Shimon, Reb Yehuda, all of them are explaining the machlokas, Reb Eliezer, Reb Yoshua, with the additional complication of shachach melaket milibo. But remember that shachach melaket milibo simply regresses the concept of mitasek to the shaila of initial desire, bakasha, as opposed to immediate machshava. In the same way that you understand that there's a difference between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, perhaps, or mitasek and non-mitasek, flat out, where there's a difference between two trees of the same type, and you want a tree one and got tree two, versus shnei minim, where you literally got a different species of what you were looking at. You understand that? Okay, regress that one step further. The malakate, where it was nishkach milibo, would that also be considered to be a problem of the question of initial intent if it was the same type, but two different trees? Or there is it irrelevant? That's the machlokas between them. So for Hachabahokam, if again, Rabbi Shimon Shazuri Sovrim, that only a case of shachach, Malakate Milibo, where it was Shnei Shemot, there you have a problem. But Shachach Malakate Milibo B'Shem Echad, that's called that you got everything your heart desired. Because it really, in the end, makes no nafkamina, whether it comes from tree one or it comes from tree two, since in Lamaisa you ended up getting precisely what you wanted, and in the end doing really precisely what you wanted, because there's no distinction between them, the only machloket would be betray Shemot. So over there's a machlokas Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yehuda holds, no, the machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Eliezer is across the board. Lo shna b'shem echad, v'lo shna b'shnei shemot, just like you understand it's a machlokas about mitasek per se. How far would we take the asher chatab ba and the difference between that and mitasek b'balachet machshevet? So too is there a machlokas where the original intent was the same tree and you ended up getting the same type but from a different tree. There too we have the same machlokas across the board. So it's really very subtle, the distinction between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. They're all discussing Avad Malakat Milibo. They're all claiming this has nothing to do with the standard mitaseik. According to Shmuel, a standard mitaseik without an initial intent, which was Avad Milibo, is going to be potter according to everybody, where you don't have the mitigating, or I should say, the mechayev circumstances of getting exactly what you had wanted with Hatzila. That's it. Rava says, look, you don't need these complicated cases. The difference between the two shitot over here between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda is a difference in order. That's the question. Whether order is definitive or not. So what we're talking about over here is that initially he wanted tree A and tree B, but in that order. Tree A and tree B. And he ended up getting tree B and tree A. That's the question. So over there, Rabbi Shimon holds that the order is irrelevant. As long as it's the same tree, would be irrelevant. It would be relevant if it were two separate types of trees, yes. That could be true. Because Lamaisa, if at the moment, time is Rabbi Yoshua, at the moment that you're doing Likita A, you had intended to do Likita B, so that's already Mitasek.
Not Malachim
Moshe. Yes, Malachim, but that's already, that's not what you're Mechaveh. So in a sense, it's Avad Malachet Bilibo, but in the other direction. Avad Malachet Bilibo is what your initial Bakasha is. Order is what your ultimate Bakasha is. Because since your ultimate Bakasha would find irrelevant the question of whether you did it through taking first A and then B, makes no difference to you. In the end, you want to have grapes. So what do you care in the end? Your bakasha is to have grapes. So in the same way that we understand that Ovid Malak and Milibo changes the function of Mitasek by saying that there was an initial intent, the question of order changes the question of Mitasek by saying that order is irrelevant in view of the ultimate intent. I want grapes. And there, by the way, there's a very subtle relationship here between this. I just want to point out to you the hidden Seder of the Gemara as you're going to be seeing. There's a very subtle relationship between this question of ultimate intent to the question of extending the din of Melechet Machshevet to Melocha She'ina Tzricha Lagufa, as we'll see. Right? Because that point of Melocha She'ina Tzricha Lagufa is whether the focus is on the act, whether the focus is on the intent of the act. And that's exactly what's happening over here in Rava when you consider it. So in the end, if I have an intention to achieve something with a malacha, and the modality of achieving it is exactly the same, the only question is that in the context of time, which is irrelevant in terms of the achievement, in the context of time, I wanted it in a different order, whether that matters or whether ultimately we can ignore the question. It's an amazingly subtle sugya throughout. These two dafim are just so rich. It's just astonishing to me that people were capable of these. Are you talking about children would be reading this? I mean, they're 15 years old. They're reading Shas 2,000 years ago. And they need to be able to make these chilukim, which mamish modern people can barely make today. It's unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. Okay. And in case... Yeah.
Is there any intentional intent in the order also? Besides it just the...
Yes, there was intent in the order, but that's in what I'm doing, not I want to achieve. So Rava is flipping around the idea of Avad Malachet Bilibo. Okay. And now I'm going to show you. You may find this very, very shocking, but I'm going to show you in this brayta that there definitely is an issue of order when it comes to Shabbos. Because v'atanya, you have two candles. V'nitkaven lechabot etze v'chiba etze. La'adlik etze v'la'adlik etze. Patur. As far as the straight out, the mitasek is concerned, you blew out the wrong candle, you lit the wrong candle. Yeah, okay, that's a mitasek. But suppose you want to be la'adlik u'lechabot. In that order. So you had two candles, one lit and one out, one extinguished, and you wanted to invert it. And you wanted to first be madlik, the one that was out, and then be mechaber, the one that was mudlak. And instead, you blew on it, and it went in the opposite order. The breath that you blew actually first was mechaber, and then lit the other one, b'neshima achat. So then you would be chayev. Why would you be chayev? Because basically, as the Gemara is going to explain, doing something at the same time is not an inversion. But if you did it b'shtei neshimot, you inverted, that would be an inversion.
But
Because you did it, in other words, to say I want it first A and then B, if they come out simultaneously, that's A and B. But if it becomes B and A, so then you're potter. B'shteni shimot, you're potter. Isn't that cheetah? No. What we say, b'nishma achat, that's not cheetah. Because ma'adat tema loyit aved makshavta. I might have thought that even that's called not doing what he wanted. He first wanted avlok. Ba'aladlik mi koraboy. Ulebisov, he wanted lechabot. Lamaisaki avada ma'aseh, he was bechaber. Ulebisov idliku, we should consider it to be the equivalent, and it should be part of kabash malan, even though you weren't magdim, but you also weren't macher. So nehidagdumi lomaktim ukurinami lomacher, and bebelo you'd be chayav. That, says Rava, since there clearly is that concern, that might well be the machloket over here between the Shitot and Rebbe Eliezer and Rebbe Yehoshua. Tana Rabbanan, this has additional implications for acts that achieve two things. Let's say somebody is digging up some coals on Shabbos. He puts his shovel in, turns the shovel upside down. Now, the result of turning it upside down is that the ones on the bottom, which had previously not been exposed to oxygen and were not burning, all of a sudden burn. But the ones that had been on top and were exposed to oxygen are now deprived of oxygen and they go out.
And this is Bevat Achat.
And this is L'chora Bevat Achat. We'll see what the case is. So the Tanakhama says, okay, you're Chayav Achatas for doing that. Reb Shimon ben Elazar, Bishum Reb Elazar, Reb Yitzchak says, you're not Chayav Achatas, you're Chayav two Chataot. Because what you did was, your Mechabeh Eta Elyonot, the ones that had previously been burning on top, now were thrown to the bottom and their fire was put out. So that's Kivui. And you were Mavir Eta Tachtonot. Now let's analyze the case. The Maya Skina. If the guy's kavana was specifically to be mechaber and to be mavir, then why in the world would anybody say that you were potter? I mean, that's what you wanted to achieve. Ela deloka mechavi lavir. So what are you saying? That he didn't really want to be mavir, the ones on the bottom. So then, if that's the case, why would somebody say you're chayev twice? So I don't quite understand. I mean, the act is an act that achieves two things. And the question only is what his machshava was. But why would there be a machloket about whether you're chayav one or two? It depends what he wanted to do. So then, how do we explain it? So Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Chanina, both say that the point over here was that he was mitkaven lechabot ha'elyodot kedei lahavir et ha'tachtonot. In other words, basically, he did not require, it's when it says kidei, it doesn't mean that it should achieve that. It means, look, I don't require the habarat atakhtonot. All I really need is, we're going to see that what we're talking about is a craftsman who's making steel.
Okay.
So he... Well, right now he's not making. He's only making the ingredients, so he has to carbonize his. So this guy's a professional. Okay, so he requires now the coals to be of a certain size, not that they should be reduced to nothing. Now he knows that when he flips the burning coals, he understands that the ones that are on the bottom are going to burn. That to him is a sacrifice. But he needs these. And they are going to get ruined if he doesn't put them on the bottom now to make sure that they don't get further reduced than they are currently.
So he's not going to put them out.
So therefore, he wants to put them out. So even though, when it says Kedei Lavir, even though he's being Mavir, to him, that's the downside of it. So since that is not his intent, so the Tanakama Savar, it doesn't matter. Because even though he's being Mikalkel, so you're saying, but his intent is not to achieve anything with that, it doesn't matter. Because the question is whether I learn from the Pusik of the Torah telling me that you're not allowed to, in Bezdin, you're not allowed to make the fire for Sreifa, on to be Mekayim, the chiyuv of Sreifa on Shabbos, you can't do that, even though that's being mekalko. So apparently, the Torah is telling you the mekalko ba'avara is chayuv anyway. So if that's the case, if you hold of that, then mekalko ba'avara, you would be mechayev twice, because you're trying to be mechaber too, and that's mamish the malacha, to be able to make yourself the carbon. And at the same time, you're ruining other things, but what can you do? You knew that's what you were going to do. And therefore, it would be dependent purely in that shayin of mekilko. And Rabbi Tzedek holds that you're chayev. Rabbi Yochanan said exactly the same thing. We're talking about a professional smithy, so he's a napach. And Rabbi Yirmiyah said, oh my God, thank heaven, somebody has explained it. I never understood what's going on, because we're manafshach. I mean, obviously that's what's going to happen. So then, what is the machlokas? Either his kavana was for that, or his kavana wasn't for that. Now I chap that, in fact, it was a kilko. Because he's in Apach, he would have liked to have more carbon, but he's happier to have the ones on top, which are larger right now. See, he put those out, even though it means being Mekalka, the ones that were previously on the bottom, that are now going to burn more, which he doesn't really want. And the question is whether Mekalka is Chayev when it comes to Havara, at least, I understand.
It's not that all Havara, by definition, is killed.
No.
Because that's not true, right?
No, that's the question. I don't understand the sugya there about Besdin. Mm-hmm. So says Ami. Some have the gears of Abaya Baravin or Chanina Baravin. The Yamatar Vayu that it's talking about that he did have kavana, but his kavana, and this is how it relates to our sugya, was lechabot ulahav ir. And nonetheless, you would be potter, because the question is whether you're chayav on havara. And that is another machlokis. Why did the Torah say lo tevaru esh? Was it because of the mekalkel, or was it, as we have really three possibilities. The machlokis, though, here that we're talking about, is whether it was lalav yatzah or lechalek yatzah. So he holds, like Rabbi Yossi, the Tanakhama, says there's no chiyav of karet at all on havara. And the reason that the Torah said lo tevaru esh was to make it an asura bialma without a chiyav of karet, in which case there's no chatas on it. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Tzedek, serve like Rabbi Natan, doma avara lechalek yatzat, and to tell me that you chayav on each melechet Shabbat individually. Rava Amar, ha! Did you forget what we've been talking about, gentlemen? We've been talking about kedima. That is exactly the question here too, and this is why I'm applying it to the previous sugya. We're talking about the question of lahakdim ika benayu. The question over there was the guy wanted to do the hadlaka and then to be mechaber, and instead he did it at the same time. So they both happened simultaneously. So the Tanakhama holds, look, you can't be mechayev on both of them because it wasn't in the order that he wanted. So Memela, Rashi says a very strange pshat over here, right, which the Shita clarifies. Rashi says that it's basically a question of not being Mechayev him twice, because what if the kibui took place first? But on the other hand, you can't potter him because of the svar that we said before, that even though you weren't Magdim, you also weren't Macher. Therefore, it sort of is a compromise. You'll be chayiv one. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer doesn't care about kedima. He only cares about the ultimate achievement, which you must admit is a rather strange kind of svara. And as the Yashita points out, this doesn't make any sense. I mean, if you're telling me, we said before that if bavatakat is nehidat to milo yikdim, then you should be chayiv too. Why did he say he shouldn't be? If it's not, so then it's all or nothing. This is a zero-sum game. If you're telling me that simultaneously is not a violation of order, then you're chayev twice. If you're telling me that it is a violation of order, then you're chayev neither. So this makes no sense. Therefore, explains the Shita, that the reason you'd be chayev one, according to the Tanakhama, is not because of a question of whether simultaneous is good enough, but rather that even though a person wants it in the order, the assumption is that the Hakpada is not on both. He wants it in this order because he wants that first. But that doesn't mean that necessarily he wants this second. What difference does it make then that it's second? The question of the order is, I want this one to be done. Okay, so over there, you didn't do that one for a new mailer, but you're not bakta that this has to be the second thing. What have to mean it's a bit? Yeah, or vice versa. Okay, so in other words, what we're saying is, there's no reason to assume, it would be an amazing thing that both of them should be dafka in order, because order is usually a question of one or the other. It would be a remarkable thing to have in order being, it has to be this way because both of them need to be precisely in that spot. Okay, so Mabele owes your Chayav on one. Now, here we get to the slippery slope of the question of the Malacha Shein Tzricha LaGufa, and whether there's a Shiloh over here of what is Mitkavein to, and is it a Psik Reisha, and all of those questions which have been lurking beneath the surface in this whole discussion. And Rav Ashi indeed says, smoldering, yes. Rav Ashi, excellent. I'm surprised Barney has been quiet. Rav Ashi Amar, Kagon Shenit Kavein Lechavot. The guy's intention was to do Kivui. Like you said, he's a Napach. And Huvarumi Eliyah, and then when he flipped it over, they just started to burn. The Tanakama holding like Rabbi Shimon, who says a Dover Shena Mitkavenis Patur, and Rabbi Laz, Rabbi Tzadik holding like Rabbi Yuda, who says that a Dover Shena Mitkaven is Chayav. Now, this is very problematic for many reasons. First of all, even if you hold Dover Shena Mitkaven, the norm is, wherever we say it, it doesn't say chayak, it says asur. The question on a Malach Shein Tzricha LaGufa is the question of patur or chayak. But the question of a dover she'eno mitkaven is very different. And he's saying that it's asur. Even Rabbi Yehuda says it's asur does not mean you're chayak mit your isa. He means this, as the Ri explains all over, that you're asur mit rabbana. So why over here, all of a sudden, is it a question of whether it's a diraita that you would be chayiv? Because that's the whole point of here. We're saying that you're chayiv achatas. And so Tosfos over here explains that the reason in this case you would say that you're chayiv is because it's a psik reisha. Which, of course, well, if it's a psik reisha, then even Rabbi Shimon is baited. It's not a dover shein miskavet. So then we're running around in circles. And why is the Rabbi Shimon made them? Why is the Tana Kama? How does it help to be sphere like Rabbi Shimon if you're telling me that if I flipped it around for sure it was going to burst into flames? So therefore, Tosfos is first forced to come on to saying that ultimately it boils down to the question of it's being a Malacha Shein Tzricha LaGufa, and therefore the question of whether it's Mitkaven is relevant. Whether it's a psik ratio. Because what is the psik ratio over here is something that has nothing to do with what it is that I need. I need my carbon. That's all I need. So you're telling me if a psik ratio does something that I don't need, that should be included in making it a dover that I'm mitkaven. That Rabbi Shimon would hold, just like Meshitato, he takes into consideration Malacha Shein Tzricha LaGufa. So over here, it would undo the problem of there being a psik reisha. Whew, boy, oh boy, oh boy. This is a rich, rich sugya. I'm telling you, you go through all the seven Shabbat, and until you get Zmamish Divrei Torah, Aniim B'Makom Echad, V'Ashirim B'Makom Echer. And you would never get to this detail of the interrelationship between the two.
The
whole Masechta. It's amazing.
That's the Rebbe brother Nora Flaner. I don't know what it says. It just says
Tosfos Nora Flaner. Okay. Tan Rabbanan. Hechot gechalim b'shabbat. Li'itchamim b'ahem. Suppose a guy wants to expose the smoldering coals, because they're hot, and he wants to warm up. And in exposing them, they start to burn. So Tane Chara Chayav, Tane Idach Patur. Ha, so since we're bringing this in over here, it's obvious that it's relevant to our previous discussion. So Ha, Tane Chayav, because I don't need the H over here. But the Tana Patur can serve a malach shen a trickle a gufa, but tura leha.
You just want to expose them.
I want to expose them. I do not need them to be mavir. All I want to do is to have more heat in the room. But on the contrary, I mean, what do I want them to burn up for? They're perfectly hot right now. Exactly the temperature that I want. So the question over here is Zakat Tzricha Lagufa.
And that's not a secretion?
Secretion is not Nogei Amalav Shem Tzricha Lagufa. Hadran Allah Tzafek Achal Chelev. Fact on the helic apparent. Now, moving on from chelev to dam, what kind of dam is included? We know that there's two separate isurim on dam. There's the chodam lo tochelu or lo tochlu b'chomosh votechem, and we also have azaras of dam, which by definition include v'nich ritan espasha. So, what exactly is the lav of dam? So we're going to analyze in the Gemara. And what exactly is the chorus of dam? Because, of course, kritut is exactly the place where we need to be medayek in which is which. So if you went ahead and you ate the dam of shchita, of a behema, or a chaya, or an oaf, and I don't care whether it's a kosher, as opposed to chelev, where I even care the difference between behema and chaya, because it has to be roi for the mizbeach, in order for it to be chelev, that would be aser. Here, dam makes no difference. Doesn't matter if it's a chaya, if it's a behema, or if it's an oaf. Doesn't matter if it's kosher, if it's non-kosher. And the dam nechira, where I stabbed it, or the dam ikur, I ripped out its simanim. That was, don't think that it's dafka, a question of shchita, per se, which there are nafkaminas in, as we've seen in terms of heksher, to mevatayra, okay. But here we're talking in terms of the yisur dam, no difference. And the dam hakaza, where you're bloodletting, and that blood spurts out. So if it's dam shana shamar yotzebo, and this is the deep red blood that indeed is its lifeblood, that you're chayavim alav chatas, because you're chayav karet.
Is that going back in all of those?
We're gonna get into the details of the Gemara. The dam, on the other hand, that is in places that are very bloody. So you have the spleen. The spleen is extremely bloody. The dam atchol. The dam halev. Now, the question of the dam halev is not all so simple, because the dam halev includes two separate sets of dami. The dam in the chambers of the heart, which is dam hanefesh, it happens just to be left in the heart, and the dam in the muscle of the heart. Okay, that we're going to see, it's about chlokas in both, which one is the one that you would be chayav on, remarkably. Dam beitzim, that's a question whether we're talking about testicles, or are we talking about eggs? And the question is whether there's an iser of actual dam in eggs. And those are two lashonos. Rashi brings both of them. Dam chagavim. Dam ha-dam chagavim. We're going to see there's no isran. Dam ha-tamtzit, which is blood that comes out after the dam ha-nefesh. So over there, in chagavim alak, whereas in all of the above, Rabbi Yehuda agrees, except dam ha-tamtzit. Dam ha-tamtzit, Rabbi Yehuda is machayev, even on dam ha-tamtzit, echiyev chatat, and he holds that there would be korek, even though the pashkets it says, ki nefesh kol basar damo, kol ochlav yikarek, which seems to make it absolutely dependent on dam ha-nefesh. All of this we're going to see, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow in the Gemara. Pasuk Rav Hoshai. Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, Lo Nechlego Adavar Shubi Shemach Hachu Chayav, Alma Nechlego Adavar Shubi Shum Shnei Shemach, Rabbi Lezer Mechayav Chata, Rabbi Yeshua Poter. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Omar something in Plige. What? Michael Omar the Plige. Benit Kavein Lelaket Anavim, Velakat Teinim, Shechorot Velaket Levanot, Avanim Veteinim, Shechorot Levanot, are exactly the Shnei Shemot of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Shimon Shazuri. So then Rabbi Yehuda Mayata Lashmina. It's got to be that Rabbi Yehuda is saying, forget about all of this jazz of Abba Malaka Bilipo, Emit Asik Ika Benayu. So you think it's only Abba Malaka Bilipo? Oh, no. mitasek itself is a machloket. Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Shimon Shizuri Sofek mitasek patur, and only over here because of Avin Malak. And Rabbi Yehuda is saying no, mitasek is chay. Lo, mitasek debrei akol patur. V'ocha v'ocha miflege. Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Shimon Shizuri Savre shachach malak belibo v'shem echad. Doesn't make any difference. If it's b'shem echad, meaning it was the same tree, and your initial attempt was to pick from the bigger tree, nonetheless, they're pleading. Rava Amar, mikadei. And in fact, look, here's a bright out of Tanya. No, Tanya. Hayula fanav shteine rodokot. Nitkavin l'chabot et zovet kibat zo. Lahadlik et zovet lik et zo. Potur, straight out mitasek. Now, lahadlik ulechabot. And he ended up doing in the order of kibah v'hidlok, but it was b'neshima achad. You're chayim, shteine shibot potur. Is that pshita? No, no, no. Because mother tema lo itavid machtaftei at all. To lahadik meikora boil b'sof lechabot. Therefore, if the maisa was kiyavad maaseh kibah b'sofid liku, so even though it's the same maisa, I would say it's potter. Kamashlon deidik du milomak mechurina milomak. Toner rabbanan achotek yechalim b'shabbat chayav chatat. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer mishum Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Tzadok chayav shtay mipnei shu mechabet elyonot umavir et hatachtonot. So my asking him. My time at the man the potter. Ella the loka mechavin laavir. My time at the man the chayv tarite. Rabbi Loz, Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Tarvayel kugod shenit kavin lechavot al yonot. Kidei laavir et hatachtonot. Even tane kamen sova bekalkaba vora potur. Rabbi Loz, Rabbi Tzadok. Look, he knew that was what was going to happen. He accepted that that's what he was going to do. So even though it's makalkel chayav, v'chein omer Rabbi Yochanan ben Apach shanu, omer Rabbi Yirmiyah atkan lo nitgalat amo shel halacha zu, a historic moment. Abaye baravin, Chanina baravin, darber tavayu, kegon shenitkaven lechabot el avir. The Tanakama Savalak Rabbi Yosi, who holds that you're still only going to be chayav one. Because Avara Lalam Yatsa. Rabbi Yezra Rabbi Tzadok Savlak Rabbi Natan Diomar Avara Lecham Eik Yatsa. Rav Amar Lak Dimi Kebinayu. Rav Ashi Amar Kegon Shinit Kavin Lechabot Vuvaru Me'aleyem. The Tanakam Savlak Rabbi Shimon Diomar Davishin Miskavin Potter. Rabbi Yezra Rabbi Tzadok Savlak Rabbi Ramad Davishin Miskavin Chayev, which is not really true, because it's only Osir, it's only in this case that it's Chayev, because it's a Psik Reisha, and he also blocked Yantzuk Lagufa. Your Chayev on, which means the Psik Reisha, is relevant to us, as Tosfos explains. Tony Rabbanan, Hechote, Bekechalim B'Shabbat, Litchabim Bayim, and they end up with Arum Eliyem, Tani Chada Chayav, Tani Irach Patur. Hada Tani Chayav, Kasava Lokshin Nitzuka Lagufa Chayav Alaya, Hada Tana Patur Kasava, Malokshin Nitzuka Lagufa, Patur Alaya. That was the daf from the 12th cycle of the International Daf Yomi. Hold on, and you show here the same daf from the cycle 7.5 years ago, cycle number 11. You know, I suggest that we'll learn it, but we're going to need a lot more time than I'm going to dedicate to it today. Maybe if you don't mind, we'll be able to do a brief chazor at least for the main circus on Sunday. It'll take a little bit longer. Okay, because I mean we really didn't give enough time for the misasik sugya. So I'm gonna go pretty fast today, but we'll go over it again. Today's daf is daf chof. But we were only up to daf yud tes amud beis, and we got up to the Tanya, I believe, right? Petra Hayy Rabbi Yeshua Ben Yashim Tola. Is that correct?
Right.
Four lines up there from the big lines. So the question in the Mishnah was this. If you have a Shaila of which chet you did, Remember, the first mission in the Perek had a case where you had two pieces. One piece was kosher, one piece was not kosher. One piece was a thing of cars, one piece was kosher. And went through the same. You had a piece of chalev, you had a piece of shuman, you had Yom Kippur, you had chol, you had your wife, you had your sister. Heter v'iser. The second Mishnah talks about iser v'iser. So you have chalev, you have neiser. You have a wife who's a nida and a sister. You have Shabbos, Yom Kippurim. So it's not a question of whether you did sin, it's a question of what sin you did. So it comes along now, so the Mishnah says, you're potter on a chatas. You can't bring a chatas unless you know the chait that you sinned with. V'hoda alav chatasa. The shayla is, how about an ashram tovi? So Rabbi Yehuda taina that according to Rabbi Yeshua, you would even be potter from an ashram tovi, because it says, bo, asher chata, bo. You have to know what you did, in what sugya you were chota. You need to know the details even to bring the yada on the nashim tov. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda potro haya Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yoshua ach mi nashim tov. What's my posik? Shenemar ki secheta v'lo yada. The mashmaut of the posik is that you did a chait and you didn't know. Meaning, the chait part is not what you didn't know. It's that prat lezer shiyada shechata. Over here, it's not that he didn't know, he did know. So since he did know, the Torah is not giving you the option to bring an Hashem Tovah, even though you cannot bring an Hashem Chatas Vada. Omar lo, Rabbi Shimon, said Rabbi Shimon to Rabbi Yehuda, on the contrary, this is the only case that you bring an Hashem Tovah. Or certainly the primary case that you bring the Pasuk to. Because take a look at how the Pasuk describes the events that lead you to the Ashram Tovim. It says, V'asa v'lo yada. So what's the problem? It's asa v'lo yada. That the knowing itself, you know. But it's just you don't know what. You don't know what it is that you do. Ze lo yada b'ma asa. That's a case that the Pasuk is Padafka referring to. You know that you did, but you don't know. In other words, the details of what issue you did. But in a case where you don't even know that you did, then it's not a given that V'yasa. Where does it say, and he did? He didn't do. Maybe he didn't do. So if anything, if there's a case where you're not even sure if you did, I don't know. Maybe you should go ask a shayla in a case like that, whether you bring an Ashram Tovah. So he turns the whole thing upside down. We thought all along the whole point of an Ashram Tovah is where you don't know if you sinned. But if you know what you sinned, you just don't know which issue you sinned. So over there you wouldn't bring an Ashram Tovah, maybe. Time is rubbish, on the contrary. The one case that I can be certain about that you bring in Ashram Tovah is where you know that you sinned. You just don't know what you sinned. As far as the other case is concerned, the first Mishnah, go and ask. I don't want to commit myself to that. What, really? Is that true? That in my Havel, I mean, is he saying seriously that he holds you don't bring in Ashram Tovah? If you're Mr. Park, if you sinned, or he's sort of saying, now listen, the primary case I can give you. You want more information? Go find out. I mean, okay, but we want to find out. So what does he hold? Tashma. It says here, chata, v'lo yada b'ma chata. Oh, safek chata, safek lo chata. Gives two cases here. First was chote, but he doesn't know in what he was chote. Or he was misupak if b'chali was chote. The din is, maybe Hashem told. Now, okay, you'll say, what does that prove about Rabbi Shimon? I'll tell you what it proves about Rabbi Shimon. Because who do you think is the author of this braisa? Man shamat like the Yomar Chata v'eini yadoa b'mach chata meidi Hashem Tovi. Who's the man, the Yomar, that holds that even though you know that you were chote, you just don't know in what you were chote, that you do bring an Hashem Tovi? Who is that man, the Yomar? That's Rabbi Shimon, correct? It's only Rabbi Shimon that holds that. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, you don't bring an Hashem Tovi. He says that actually, poter haya Rabbi Yoshua af mi Hashem Tovi. So it can't be Rabbi Yehuda that's saying this. It's got to be therefore Rabbi Shimon, who says, L'shitati, the primary Hashem Talui is, where you know that you sinned, but you don't know in what you sinned. So the second Mishnah is the primary Mishnah. But there's also, and yet he continues to say, that Vikatani say that Sofik, Chata Sofik Lo Chata, you also bring an Hashem Talui. So even if you're Mesupik as to whether you sinned, which is the first Mishnah, you would also bring an Hashem Talui. Shema Amina Svir Le Rebbe Shimon. So look, even though Rebbe Shimon was shouting and was saying, you want to know what the din is about that? I don't know, go find out. But certainly it's not the primary din. But Lamaisa, he holds that even in that case, which to us was the primary din all along, where you were Mr. Park, if you even sinned, over there he also agrees, maybe Hashem Talui. Okay, so it turns out now that all are agreed about where you would bring, whether it would be a chiyuv of Hashem Talui in a case where you're not sure that you sinned. The only machlokas that we have over there is whether you need to have shtei chatichot, and you ate one of the chatichot mibein shtei chatichot. And we had a number of different time in why that would be true. Mitzad asfora, because you need to have forensic evidence, exceptional bar yisurai, or because you need ikva yisurai, that it was kavua, we know for a fact that the issue was there, not that you created the issue. Or because it says in the Torah, achat mi mitzvot Hashem Elokecha. Those were the three approaches that we had. And some say even in the case where there was one piece, and you were specific if that piece that you ate was asur or not, even there you would bring an Hashem Talui. In a case where you vanai ate either chelev or nisa, or mechalal vadai either Yom HaKippurim or Shabbos, let's say. So there we have a machlokas. According to Rabbi Shimon, that's the primary case of the chiyuv of Hashem Talui. And the machlokas in the Mishnah is only in terms of the chatas. You don't bring your chatas because you need to know what it is that you did. But in Hashem Talui, you certainly would bring. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yoshua says your potter would pot you even from an Hashem Talui because the Torah says you have to know. He said, v'lo yada. And v'hu yada, zitziz yada. So he wasn't the kind that need not to know. All right, so then we ask, so if that's what you hold, said, I can't believe the Rabbi Yoshua Darshan's bo, to me, not kide kach, it's the same chayt. So bo, I know I was chayte v'achila. So the Gemara said, so, and I said, what do you think? It says bo. I think that that's coming to tell me problem is us. Okay. So we discussed before which problem is us. We said not to be misasik by Shabbos, because misasik by Chalavim, Uba'arayot, which was the cases given in the Mishnah. Well, it's a little bit strange, because certainly the first thing you think when you read a Mishnah that has basically three cases. You have a Mishnah that talks about an Isra of Achila, Chela and Neser. Then it talks about the Isra of Arayas, Nida Vachosa. And then it talks about the Isra of Chilul Shabbat and Yom HaKippur. That was your Mesupik, which day it was that you did it. When we come along and we say Prakla Mitasek, you would have assumed it means that he's talking about Prakla Mitasek on the above three cases. But the Gemara before proved that that's impossible. Because a Mitasek in cases of Arayot or in cases of Achila, that was the first two cases of the Mishnah, you now see the greater significance of why the Mishnah discusses these three cases. Because these are the critical issues for us to determine the dinim that we're arguing about. So a misasik in the case of Achila and the case of Arias is unique. Because in those cases, we insist that the, as we said, there were two approaches. But we insist that because the act is defined by the sensuality of it, so in a sensual act, either you cannot claim that you're uninvolved, because that's what mitasek usually means. So the involvement is defined by the sensual experience. That's the general approach. Or the other approach, which is led by the Chazon Ish among the Achronim, but which is traced to Rishonim, that the Isurim in those cases consists of the sensual experience. And because of that, there's an afkamina lahalach as to whether you need to do a ma'isa. In other words, by all other isurim, if the ma'isa was achieved by someone using you to do the ma'isa, then it would not be considered to be your ma'isa. But if somebody uses you to achieve this ma'isa, so you have a case where a person had an erection for a normal purpose, somebody grabs him and uses him to sleep with a needle, let's say, right? Or somebody takes food and pushes it to the back of your mouth, where you swallow it, but not because you took it and ate it. So according to that, you would be chayav because the Torah asers the sensual event rather than the actual doing. Okay, so those would be nafkaminas v'halacha. So the first two cases given in the Mishnah are excluded from the discussion of Misasik, and that's what's important for us to establish now. And we came along and said the only case that it could be talking about was Misasik b'Shabbos. Now, we have already seen, and I don't want to go overboard on this because I said we have a bris coming up, and I need to finish quickly, and Bezrat Hashem, we will review these dinim on Sunday because they're quite complex. But we've already noted that there are a number of different type of issues that are included in the concept of Misasik, and we're going to have to go through what exactly the machlokas is in the Mishnah that we're talking about, the Prat Misasik, and which Misasik, and when would people say that Misasik is Chayav, and the machlokas Amoraim over here, in the way that Shmuel is understanding Misasik, as we'll get into now. But we had Misasik, one type of Misasik, is Misasik in Heter, that ends up doing Iser. And that is a misasik where the Torah says you have to know the cheta shechata ba. So if you had no intention of doing isur at all,
two lettuce case, right?
Well, there's two lettuce cases, unfortunately. That's the problem. In other words, you're not letting me finish. I'm going to split this case into two. But where you're osek in heter. So over there, there's definitely a p'tur of misasik, and maybe that's a p'tur of ba. I don't need the din of melechet machshavet in that case. That's completely. I'm not even involved in Isser Shabbat. Now, what that case would be is a machlokas. According to Rashi, it has to be not that you simply thought it was heter; it really was heter. There were two lettuces. So one lettuce had fallen off of the table, down onto the ground, where another lettuce was growing. Your intent was to pick up that lettuce, and your cell phone rang, and you ended up picking up the other lettuce. No, I mean, a cell phone is
that. If it can ring in the middle of the year, it can ring on Shabbos.
That's right. So you ended up picking up the other one. Others learn that your intent was to pick up a lettuce that you thought was detached. It's only one lettuce. You thought the lettuce had fallen off the table. You want to pick it up. And it turns out that it was attached, but there was no kavana for doing anything that would remotely resemble Chilul Shabbos.
We're getting something different. It's very fine.
It gets finer yet. Then we were machalic between slicing the lettuce and picking up the lettuce. Because over there, the ma'isa that you're doing is precisely the same ma'isa. Whether, in other words, I'm cutting the lettuce right here. That's my first slice. Okay, now the shaila is. I mean, that's how I would do the ketzira, but it's also the way that I would cut a lettuce. So that the kavana for the ma'isa of chaticha is the ma'isa. We'll talk about that later. Then we have other levels of mitaseh that relate to the idea of melechet machshavet. The Torah answered on Shabbos a plan that you carry out. And here we have some very significant, this is Divrei Torah, Niyam B'Mokam Echad, V'Ashirim B'Mokam Acher, the main dinim of the details of Mitasik, even Lagave Shabbat, we really find here. So we have to distinguish between levels of Mitasik. Is it that it has to be completely different Malachot that you were going to do? You intended to do A and you ended up doing B, meaning there was no kavana for this malacha, or there was no kavana for this shame of the malacha. I thought that I was going to do kitsira and I did bitsira. Or I thought I was going to do bitsira and I did Masika. So I was pulling on a date instead of on a grape. Yeah. I mean, both of them are the same halakha, but they have different shemas. Okay. How about if I wanted grapes, but I wanted light grapes, instead I took dark grapes? So there's literally the same thing that I wanted. How about if I wanted dark grapes and light grapes, and instead I picked light grapes and dark grapes? Would the order even be malakas bakrams? It's not what you wanted. It's not in the Seder in which you intended. These are all issues that we're going to explore today. Briefly, we'll go back to go into them in detail later on. There's also another distinction that has to be made in our mind. There is the plan, which is the strategy, and there is the tactic. And that's true lagabe Shabbat as well. You may have a strategy in mind as to what it is that your ultimate intention is to get out of this thing. The tactic is defined by the moment that you're about to do the malacha. It is possible to consider a case in which the strategy has been forgotten at the moment of the tactics, which unfortunately, as we know, is all too prevalent an event in human affairs, especially in our own daily lives, in which our strategy is certainly to get to Olam Haba and so on and so forth, but we tend to forget the strategy and the tactics of the moment. And that's true lagabe Shabbat as well. A person could have an ultimate plan of wanting such and such things. It's like happens, unfortunately, in all senior moments. When you go up to the refrigerator upstairs to take something down, and when you get there, you can't remember what it was, but you take something, and then it turned out that something was the wrong thing, and your wife sends you back up again, you feel like a total idiot. It's even worse when you go up to bring something from the refrigerator and you end up bringing down some towels from the laundry. But that happens also. How about if you would switch tactics in a way that ended up being consistent with your strategy, but inconsistent with your plan of the tactics? In other words, lamaisa, your wife sent you up for the laundry. And you went up and you intended, you said, I think it was the milk I was supposed to bring down. I'm sorry for these personal examples, but that's the other thing.
Right? So then
you have the milk and the laundry next to each other. Your intent was to take the milk, and you ended up without thinking because your cell phone rang, and you took the laundry. And your wife said, excellent, you really remembered this time. You said, oh my God, you mean you wanted the laundry? Right? So your original intention strategically had been to bring the laundry. But your intent had been to bring the milk, and you ended up bringing the laundry.
What's the subconscious fit in the
laundry? I don't know. These are things that we need to establish.
What would be the Aramaic or Hebrew equivalent?
We're going to see. I'm being machadish. This is the way to look at it. We'll see how the Gemara views it. All right, so all these things today, I just want to give a hakdama that misasik is a very, very broad range of issues, some of which are covered by the idea of Melechet Machshevet, and we know that those things are unique for Shabbat, but others, there's a general thing of Misasik, as we've seen in many other Yisroel, where over there's no intent to be involved in Yisr Bechlau, which is different than a Shokeg, where there's a misunderstanding of what the thing is. As you thought it was, you thought, I wanted to do this, I wanted to eat this piece, I thought it was mutter to eat this thing, either because I thought that this type of chela is mutter, or I thought it was, I misidentified it. So over there, it's simply a question of you're not knowing about the iser. But a misasik is where the act that you were doing is basically a different act than existed in your plan. And your plan was, indeed, had it been carried out, was a plan of hetter. That already is different for other iserim as well. So now let's review once again how we respond to Prat L'mitasek. Omer Rav Nachman, Omer Shmuel, mitasek b'chalavim v'arayot chayav shekein nehenah. We've already established that it can't be referring to the first two cases of the Mishnah, because the person was nehenah, and the Torah was pottering you in that case. A mitasek b'shabbat will also be potter. That's because Melechet Machshevet Asra Torah. There the Torah says that you have to be aware of what it is that you're going to do, and we learn out the dinim of Shabbos from the Mishkan, and in the Mishkan we only accept the work that is being done by those who are Baalei Machshava to be able to plan out the Melechas HaMishkan and do it according to plan. And therefore, since by definition, mitaseik is not according to plan, you would be potter by Shabbos. You don't need any additional psukim. Omerle Rabba the Reb Nachman. So Reb Nachman was quoting Shmuel over here. Rabba asked him, well, how about the famous case of the Tinokot? Where over there, you have two children that you need to give a Brit Milah, one of which had been born on Shabbat, and the other one had been born on Sunday. And you get them confused. And you do the Milah, you intended to do the Milah. I mean, listen, these surgeons, you know, thank heavens it wasn't the wrong kidney, you know what I mean? But these surgeons were always doing that kind of thing. So you took the wrong kid. At least you didn't do the wrong thing. But you were Mechallel Shabbos. Because you can't give a Bris Milah earlier. So it turns out, and it seems to me that that is a case, basically, of mitasek. So you, and again, l'chora, this would mean that it's dependent on that same machlokas that we had before between Rashi and Tosfos, the famous machlokas about the lettuce. Is it that you misidentified and slipped? In other words, and you ended up taking the wrong one. So my intent, in other words, not that I confused which one was which. I knew I wanted to pick up that lettuce over here. I wanted to be mal that tinok. The cell phone rang and I picked up the wrong tinok. So lechora, that's a case of mitasek. Okay? So I think that's mitasek. And it says over there, v'tnan, mishayulo shnei tinokot. If somebody had now two, she had twins, one of them was born on Shabbos, one of them was delayed until after Shabbos. He calls the Mayo comes in, and it's Shabbos now, he's going to be Mal the first one. B'shachachu Mal etshel achra Shabbat. B'shabbat he takes the wrong child, and he does the Mila of a Sunday breed on the previous day on Shabbat. So Rebbe Eliezer says, well, so he's Mechallel Shabbat. So he's Chayav. Chayav achatas. Rebbe Yoshua poter.
Gemohel.
So it says, and the truth is, Rabbi Yeshua says your potter over there. Why? Because he's a toeh b'dvar mitzvah. In other words, his intent had been to do a mitzvah, and he learns out that if somebody's intent is to do a mitzvah, and because of that he ends up doing an avera, you're not chay. Right? So he's potter. Now, kamo potter, Rabbi Yeshua, elam shun dekasova toeh b'dvar mitzvah lo'asa mitzvah potter. That's the only reason that even Rabbi Yoshua, I mean, remember, Shmuel is claiming that everybody agrees that Nisasik is potter because of Malachas Mavshavis. And over there it says that everybody agrees that it's not potter. Rabbi Yoshua at least agrees. No, he doesn't. Rabbi Yoshua says over there the only reason that you're potter is not because of Mitasek. You're potter because you were a Torah B'dvar Mitzvah. But if it wouldn't be for the fact that we were dealing with a mitzvah, it would be stam mitasek b'davar she'eino mitzvah, then even Rabbi Yoshua would have been b'chayev, and Shmuel is going according to no one. There's no one who says, what's the problem? It's a mitasek. Nobody says that. Omar lo, forget about that case. That's a unique case. Because you have to ask yourself another question. L'maisa, if you, what did the guy do wrong? How was he in the Chalal Shabbos? What did he do wrong?
Chabura.
What's Chabura? He caused bleeding on Shabbos, whatever. Right? Just like different approaches.
Not Tikkun Mamon?
No, because he wasn't in the Takeh.
Because it was early.
Because it was early. We're still going to need to go back and give him a bris. Mm-hmm. So now, so the Shaila is, although I must admit that there's a lot of discussion about that issue. Obviously, you can't go back and give him a new bris. Mm-hmm. So, okay, that's a little bit of a problem. So there was an element of tikkun. It just wasn't a tikkun in terms of mitzvah. But let's pretend right now that it was pure chabura. Okay? So if it was pure chabura, you have to ask yourself, why are you chayev on doing something that's a chabura that's a kilku?
It's a kilku because of the timing.
Yeah, you just ruin things. You didn't help things. In other words, why are you chayev in general? Why are you chayev on Shabbos for causing a chabur? When you cause a chabur, you're ruining something. And by definition, malekek makshevet always means something that is an improvement. It's creative. So So how is this created?
If your das is to ruin, you're not, you wouldn't be a chayav.
No, the act is not a malacha. So clearly, there's something unique about makar, about chabura. Now, there's two cases where there's about focus. The case of chabura is one, and the case of havora is another. Burning things on Shabbos, because burning is also ruining them. And the Gemara in Shabbos discusses both and derives that both of these you're chayav, even though it's makar. Therefore, comes up the Gemara with a brilliant solution. If Mekarkel is potter, then clearly there is a change in the status of Malachas Makshavas when it comes to Chabura. Mm-hmm. So then the Misasek that would be a result of Malachas Makshavas should also be potter. It should also be Chayav. Because it's not going to be any less than Mekarkel of Chabura, right? So therefore, says now the Gemara, Hanach letinoket, holo Mekarkel b'Chabura is Chayav, Mitasek b'chabura is also chayav, because it all is a derivation of the same idea, which is that you have to have a plan for what you're doing. Yeah, but, and it has to be creative doing. I mean, over here doesn't have to be creative doing, so I also don't need a plan for what I'm doing. Eisei Rav Yehuda l'Shmuel. So Rav Yehuda asks Shmuel, says over here that Rabbi Yehuda, not to be confused with the Rav Yehuda who's asking the question, says in our Mishnah, that Rabbi Yehuda Omer, that Afilu, so our Rabbi Yehuda, this same Rabbi Yehuda says Afilu miskaven l'laket te'inim l'liket anavim, anavim v'liket te'inim, shechorot v'liket levanot, levanot v'liket shechorot. In all of these cases, the machlokas of Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua would pertain, and Rabbi Eliezer would say your chayav chatas, but even over there, Rabbi Yeshua would say, nope, you're potter because you did something that you had no intention of doing. You wanted to take the dark colored grapes and you ended up taking the light colored grapes, and therefore you're potter. Now, you'll notice that in this case, I mean, that's a mitasek, right? I mean, your hand stretched forth, and you're always shocked by this when it happens, you know? You could have sworn that you took out such and such a bottle, and you look at your hand, and it's a different bottle. You're going to take out such and such a safer. You go to the table, you open it up, and it's the wrong safer. And you know you went for that safer. Very strange. So over here, basically, you think, what was I acting on, so automatic pilot? That's a misasek.
So, but this is a case of strategy and a tactic.
No, here, strategy and tactics are still okay.
They're still the same.
We haven't gotten to that. We haven't gotten to that case yet. So, v'ahacha mitasek. Because this is essentially a mitasek. Okay, so you'll say, all right. So that's a machlokas, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Yeshua was going according to Rabbi Yeshua. No. Because even Rabbi Yeshua, who says you're potter over here, is because lo kapater alamina lamina. It's only where it was two different things. So the question is, okay, how do we define Mina and not Mina, right? How far would you go? Would you say a light grape and a dark grape? Is that two different meanings? But the bottom line is it has to be some significant thing which differs from your plan.
Otherwise,
right?
It's not.
But if it wouldn't differ from your plan, according to you, Shmuel, the problem is that mitasek is by definition not melechet machshavet, correct? Forget, I understand when a pasuk says, achet asher chataba. So if you want to analyze it, what do I mean by asher chataba? I mean, you're going to tell me it's a different chet, whether I pick white grapes or dark grapes. Then I understand it's absurd. But according to you, Shmuel, your timing, the problem over here is in your plan. Did you carry out your plan? So suppose you have two grapes. They're both white grapes. Your plan was, you stretched forth your hand to take the grape on the right. And you took the grape on the left. And then you come back to select the next grape and you're utterly shocked. What? I thought I just picked it. Now that happens. So where's the Malachas Makshavas? What do you think? Because the broad strategy was that I wanted this grape, but it's not what you intended to do. So according to you, even Rabbi Yeshua doesn't fit the bill, because the only reason that Rabbi Yeshua is saying over here that you're potter for mitasek is because It's significantly different than what you wanted to achieve. You wanted to achieve a black grape, and you got a white grape. But if it wouldn't be for that, we don't insist that your brain and your hand has to be connected. You may have acted on autopilot, subconsciously, whatever you want, and you'd still be chayav, even on Libra Rabbi Yeshua. But according to you, that it's a dinim malakas bachshavas, how do you explain that? So something is wrong with Shmuel. It can't be a result of the overall case of malakas bachshavas asra Torah. That's what the Gemara is bothered by here. And even Rabbi Yeshua, who you might say agrees with you, and says it's part of, that's only because it's the difference between one mean and another mean. So basically, objectively speaking, the intent wasn't achieved. But this is what Rav Yehuda asks now against Shmuel. Omar Lei. So he told Rav Yehuda, listen here, Shinana. Shinana means sharp tooth, right? I always used to call him Sharpie, because he was very sharp. Just call him Sharpie. Listen here, Sharpie. Let me tell you something. You forget about your Mishnah and follow me. I'll work it out for you, but I'm telling you, I'm right about this. So Shvok, my sister, forget about your Mishnah, forget about the analysis. Follow me, V'tabatroi. You want to know what the case is over here? Hakwa Mayaskinan, Kagon Sha'avad Melakit Milibo. Case over here is a unique case. The case over here was a case where there was a difference between strategy and tactics. And what happened is that initially you had a plan to achieve X. Your plan was not Nogea tactics, it was Nogea strategy. You want white grapes and dark grapes. Okay? Or you want grapes? You come now to the tree, the equivalent of the refrigerator. You completely forget what it was that you got here for. So now you have a tactical issue. So you went ahead and did according to your tactics, and you made a mistake. You intended to get, let's say, the figs. You ended up with the grapes. You come back downstairs, and your wife says, "Ah, the first time the idiot remembered what I wanted." And you say, "Oh man, thank heavens, I picked grapes. I had no idea I picked grapes. That's great." So that is what happened over here. That's why, and that's what the argument is. The question over here is, I'll tell you, he was avad, in other words, he lost track of the fact that he had gone up there to be malakeh, what he wanted to be malakeh. And that's what I understand is the reason why they're arguing. So the way in which the Gemara, you asked before, Scott, how does the Gemara refer to loss track of strategy? Avad X milibo. X being the strategy. X has been just vanished from your heart. You don't remember overall what your intent was. And that is the way to understand now the unique case in the Mishnah. And therefore, what we say is, kigon, nitkaven lakit anavin. Let's say, for instance, a guy had kavana, and he initially needed to pick grapes. And he completely forgot about that. Goes to the refrigerator, which is in this case a tree, and he goes up thinking, "Oh, what did she send me up to get? Oh yes, it was the figs." So sover te'inim be'ina. He sticks out his hand to pick a fig, and in the end he pulls off a grape, comes downstairs and he's carrying a grape and his wife is happy. So that's the machlokas in the Mishnah. Rebbe Eliezer says, look, bottom line is, in this case, you ended up doing what your strategy was despite the fact that you didn't attach your strategy to your tactics. That's irrelevant. The end result is that you did the kavana that you intended to do. Whereas Rabbi Yeshua said, okay, but that's true. But lo nasta kavanato umachshavto. So this is the way that the Gemara distinguishes between strategy and tactics. The kavanah is the kivun, the direction that you're taking. The direction that you're taking is a reference to strategy. There's all types of things that are going to happen in between that direction. And there's a lot of corrections that you're going to have to take to achieve that direction. You may send a rocket to inspect a comet somewhere, but on the way you're going to need to make a lot of corrections. When you make those corrections, those are basically machshavot, not kavanot. Now you may overcompensate and fire the wrong thruster a little bit too long and so on and so forth. Those are inyanim that I say, says Rabbi Yisrael, are not inyanim of ultimate kavana. They are mistakes in how you carry out the tactics for that kavana. And as long as it was nasta kavanato, it's okay. Rabbi Yehoshua says, no, there's two issues and they have to be in agreement. The tactics need to be consistent with, good Lord, with the strategy. I just can't allow myself to do it lousy. I don't know what to do. It's such an exciting sugya. I mean, it's exciting and crucial. I don't know what to do.
Later today,
what does this do with the Eitz Fed? We don't have to quit yet because they won't sell the time.
Right. Sorry?
What does this do with the Eitz Fed?
Because you thought that you were asking me from a case of pure misasik. And I'm telling you, this is not a case of pure misasik. The only reason that anybody is willing to say over here that you would be chayav nonetheless, it's not because they're arguing with me. The case of yours is that you ended up doing your strategy. That's a different issue. Did I talk to you about strategy? It could be that Enochinami strategy is about focus with Yeshua Rebliyazah. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a case where there was no strategy that ended up being consistent with what you ended up achieving. It was purely a question of a particular act, and you did the wrong act. I'm saying, in that case, there's no redemptive power to this act at all. And everyone would agree that a misasik would be potter because it's not malachas vachshavas. So over here we have a very profound new insight into what is meant to dwell by malachas vachshavas. Is it the machshava, the local machshava, which is meant to achieve a particular goal through a particular act, or is it an overall plan for what needs to be achieved with the acts that I am about to do?
This is the way I'm coming.
That's what I'm saying. It's redefining it. So Shmuel is saying that's a different machlokas. That may well be that that's considered to be sufficient because not nasta kavarato. How you define it, I didn't come to discuss. I'm not getting involved in this about focus. I'm Tanoim over here. I'm just telling you the word revolves around the Etzem child of Misasik. Everybody has made a the Malachas Bakshevas Asra. Player, this is not Malachas Bakshevas.
The Rav used the strategy for both Kavanato and also Shevag X and Yibon. I heard strategy for both.
No, the loss of strategy.
Loss of strategy versus.
Loss of strategy is called Avad Mimibo. The word for strategy is kavanah.
Okay, so in the same plane.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, and tactics is malachet machshavot?
No, tactics is machshavto. The question is whether the strategy can overrule the machshava because it subsumes it. So since in the end you did what you intended to achieve, I mean, so, you know, so what's bad? So it's also included in the overall plan. Rabosha had a different question. Rabbi Shimon Chizuri for Rabbi Shimon Omri. Let's take a look what the Mishnah said. Lo nechlaku al davar shehu mishum shem echad shu chayav. They never argued, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua, about something that was the same iser. Aman nechlaku. What then did they argue about? Al davar shehu mishum shnei shemot. Over there, Rabbi Eliezer is b'chayav chatas. And Rabbi Yeshua says, since it was Shnei Shemot, so you would be pot. Now, explain to me, according to you, what is the case that we're saying now that they do argue, or leave it to Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Shimon Chizuri and Rabbi Shimon are saying, no, we disagree with you. They're certainly not arguing in a case where it's Rishum Shemeth. Okay, so what does Rabbi Yehuda hold? Rabbi Yehuda holds they are arguing, right? What is that case where Rabbi Yehuda says that Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua argue even where it's Mishum Shemef? I'd like to clarify that.
Same category is.
Well, explain to me what the case is. So Rabbi Yehuda might come into pleading. Where does he say that it is the same thing and they're arguing it? It's Kavein, Velaket Anavim, Velakat Te'emim, or The kavana was to get dark grapes, and he ended up taking Libanot, or maybe over there, they're arguing. Now, when you say, what are those cases? Hanavim Teini, Moshkorot Libanot, explain to me. That's because they're two different Shemot. I mean, I don't understand. If once we make the distinction between the color, so you're telling me we're arguing now in what you define as being Shnei Shemot? I mean, so that they're not arguing about the din, but Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Shimon should come along and say, ah, no way that they would be arguing about a case where it was Mishum Shnei Shemot. Yeah. So that's exactly what Rabbi Yehuda is saying now. Rabbi Yehuda, if Rabbi Yehuda would be saying that the Machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua is in terms of dark grapes or white grapes, right? Okay, that's also Shnei Shemot. I'm just defining the Shnei Shemot maybe different ways than you are. But we're not arguing about whether you need to be able to physically define a different result from the action.
Why is there Shnei Shemot?
What do you mean? Because I can objectively say this is not what, it's not Shemot, Isser, it's Shemot.
Okay.
So what is the difference between them? So, mind you, Shnei Shemot, so it's because basically you're saying that they're different things. No. So Reb Shimon and Reb Shimon Shizuri said exactly that. So Reb Yudah Mayat Avashvina. So what are they arguing in? Reb Yudah says, no, I can't believe that. Definitely they would argue. Well, arguing what? Elalav, I'll tell you. It's got to be that what they're really arguing about is Mitasek. Mitasek is coming. Now that's the point. In other words, Reb Yehuda was arguing with Rabbi Shimon and Reb Shimon Shizuri, because he understood that what they had said was what Shmuel claimed. Shmuel had claimed, you know what's really going on in this mission? Let me explain to you. There's a whole piece that you have to understand which is not on the surface. The piece is the recognition of the strategy versus the tactic. And we're talking about a case where a person was still consistent with the strategy, he just forgot. And he was being Isaac in the tactics, and in the tactics he made a mistake. So this is what Rabbi Yehuda indeed heard in the words of Rabbi Shimon Shizuri and Rabbi Shimon. But had it been a real mitaseh, in which there was no overall strategy, Richie, with which he was consistent, what would the halakha have been? That they were implying it would be potter in that case, right? If it was real mitaseh. The only reason that it's high up here is because of the strategic implications of the overall plan. The kavanah, in the lashon of the Gemara a moment ago. Therefore comes he along to say, and he says, so what then do you think it is? I'll tell you what I think it is. Mitasek is what I think it is. Meaning that the machlokas Rabbi Yehoshua and Rabbi Eliezer is in terms of pure mitasek, and Rabbi Eliezer is coming to say that in terms of pure mitasek, you would be potter. And Rabbi Yehoshua is saying, well, I agree with you, you would be potter, but not where it's two completely different shemos. I mean, not where it's all one shame anyway, only where it's two completely different shemos. So in other words, what we're getting back to over here is the question that we just asked on Shmuel. We asked on Shmuel from the Mashmaut of the Mishnah, in which Rabbi Yehoshua was only arguing because there was two completely different things, right? If not for that, even he would have agreed that mitaseh, the left grape and the right grape, wouldn't make any difference. So nobody agreed with Shmuel. So Shmuel throws in, yeah, okay, that's because we're talking about this new case where you had Avad Malakit Milibo. There was a strategy that had been forgotten. So now we ask further on Shmuel. So excuse me, Shmuel. And what do you think Rabbi Yehuda is saying in the Mishnah? Rabbi Yehuda is saying, what are you giving me the strategy business for? It's not the issue over here, is it strategy? There was no strategy. The issue over here is pure mitaseh. So that means that according to him, there's a machlokas over here in how to apply differences in terms of tactics. But nobody would agree to Shmuel's definition that a malechet makshevet of simply moving my hand the wrong way, accomplishing precisely the yisra I wanted to accomplish, accomplishing precisely the results I wanted to accomplish, that nonetheless would be utter because what you did was disconnected from your brain? Nobody says that. Not Rabbi Yeshua, not Rabbi Eliezer, certainly not the way that Rabbi Yehuda is learning the Mishnah. Okay, so, I mean, l'chora, that's the whole point. So, elalav mitaseki b'nayim. That Rabbi Yehuda is saying, look, man, mitasek, the way you're learning it, is chayav. It's only these cases where Rabbi Yehoshua would say you're potter, because it was shachar v'lavan. And Rabbi Shimon Shizuri is saying, no, mitasek would be potter, and the only reason over here there would be a chayav would be maybe because of the strategic issue that you had forgotten. No, you're misunderstanding. Well, you're trying to make my description of Misasik and Machlokas in the Mishnah of Tanoim between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon Shizuri. Get off of it. Misasik, give me a cold putter. What are you talking about? There's nobody in his right mind who would think that a Misasik would be chayim. We're not coming to discuss over here the Pesuk in the Torah that's Malachas Machabas also Torah. We're coming to discuss now this new issue of Bob in the Mishnah. Don't talk to me about a Mishnah. What? So you'll say, well, excuse me, so what's the Machlokas over here? Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon Shizuri, in how to understand the question of the Machlokas, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehoshua. I'll tell you what the Machlokas is. What they're arguing is, how far do we take the understanding of the relationship between strategy and tactics? Not that we should ignore strategy here. That's not what was going on. The machlokas was, Rabbi Shimon Shizuri saw that Rabbi Shimon Shizuri is ready to say that if you have a case of shacha, malake, believe milibo, b'shem echad, divrei hakol chayav, I'm agreeing, we're all agreeing, Rabbi Yehuda's agreeing, Rabbi Shimon Shizuri's agreeing, that an overall strategy is definitely sufficient at times to be mechayev you, despite the fact that you lost the relationship between the strategy and the tactic. Yes. The question is, how far does it extend? There needs to be some relationship between the tactic and the strategy. Otherwise, why should we consider the strategy at all? That's like the typical case where some idiot comes and tells you, you do X and you're going to end up with exactly this result. Now you know that's ridiculous. And you say, on the contrary, if you do Y, you're going to end up with that result. How many times has this happened in your life? This idiot goes ahead and does X. But something changes totally. They devalue the currency or whatever. And the guy ends up indeed making exactly. And he comes to him and he says, no, you see? You feel like strangling him because you were 100% right. It's just in the end, he accidentally managed to achieve what he said he was going to achieve, right? But these are always the smart guys. See? Had a great, great strategy and it worked 100%. Yeah, except it was 180 degrees and worked differently from the way that it thought it was going to work. So there's got to be a relationship between the tactic and the strategy for the strategy to be able to define this as Malachas Machshavas. That's what we're arguing on about over here. That's the whole issue. That he tines, even Shachas Malachas Milibo. I mean, it depends what it is that differed in the end. I mean, if it's B'Shem Echad, okay, then Divya Kochayah. I'm saying that the machlokas would be limited to where the difference in the end turns out to be two completely different things. And Rabbi Yehuda is saying, well, what's the difference? If you're willing to agree that the strategic results are consistent, so what do I care if it's b'shem echad, lo shno b'shnei shemot? They're also pligay. But why should you think that they're going to argue about pure mitasek without needing to have strategic elements in place? I tell you that if it's not for the fact that there was a consistency between the results and the original strategy, there would have been absolutely nobody who would have suggested that you're chayav on Shabbos if the Torah says malachas mach Shabbos. You've got to be crazy to think that. So the only question is, how far does the strategy compensate for the fact that you lost track of what you were doing when it came down to your tactics? That's all. Is it even going to be makaseh on shnei shemot or shem echad? That's all. Think we have to go on? Would you mind? Why? Why not?
It's
a short. Catch
up? Yeah. What
time? The baby just arrived.
What time?
Can we? How do you know?
My wife.
Oh, really?
Outsider information.
So, it's an Arachayim Becker.
Becker,
the Becker boy. It's such a name to do kissing. Ruben. Okay. By the way, we're continuing on Daf Chof. And we're holding in the middle here of the Sugya of Shmuel. Shmuel Tainan, even though in the Mishnah learned out the din of Misasek from Bo, so that it turns out to be a halacha that's derived from the dinim of korbanos all over. It's not limited to Shabbos. Shmuel taina that when it comes to Shabbos, everybody is meida that there would be a misaseh that would include not only from Isser to Heter, which is the case of the Mishnah, in the Chalukos of Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Remember that the Mishnah introduced the idea if there was both Chalav and Noisir. The Shaila was, if you don't know which one you did. So Shmuel is tiny. When it comes to Shabbos, such a thing would be inconceivable. Because by Shabbos, if you don't know what you did, the Pshat said, then you're talking about a different level of Misasek. If you only have him for one thing, you end up doing another thing. That's a karmic block of Smach Shabbos. Even though both are Aser. The only time that they're arguing whether that's considered to be a idea in terms of carbon and so on. That's in Kalatara Kula. And by inference, the dinner misasik that's learned from there is a dinner Kalatara Kula. So you thought you were doing something heter and your kavona was to do something heter. You end up doing something yisr. So there is a chisorin in the maisim. The kavona for your maisim, and maybe there's no chibur between you and the maisim. But when it comes to Shabbos, it wouldn't matter even if it was an isr. And you had kavanah to do the same Isser of Shabbos. But it was Shnei Minim. That's a question already. How far do we take Shnei Minim? Does it mean even different colored grapes? Or Shnei Minim is if you had a kavanah grapes and you ended up taking figs. But fine, that's part of the machlokas and how to understand the machlokas, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. But zikr, when it comes to Shabbos, when both of them would be Isser, whatever that Shnei Minim was, you ended up doing something different. For that matter, even if you ended up doing it, we'll see, maybe even in a different order. We'll see later on how far we're going to take Shmuel's Maimon. That it would be a new Chisora, not of Ba, but of Malachas Bachshavah. So we were asking a number of different questions yesterday when we did the first half of the Daf, asking various questions on Shmuel. Because the mashmos for the Mishnah is that there's a machloikas by misasik mamish, even in a case in which it would be shnei minim, the gabi Shabbos too. And we answered it by saying that what we're talking about over there is a case where he had an overall plan to be malakit believer. His misasik was actually a going back to what his original plan was subconsciously, but in terms of what he intended to do right now, he did it differently. So that was called Ovid Malakit Miliba. The Shaila is whether you need that it should be Avid Kavanose Umachshafte, or it's enough that it's Isavid Kavanose. We asked on that from what about according to Rabbi Yehuda? According to Rabbi Yehuda, he says that he believes that there's a further machloikis, and in such a case, shumayfa, It wouldn't apply. The Mashman heals a few of the misasa because of machloikas, which was a problem to Shmuel. And we answered that even I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda, there is a further problem. The further problem is how far to take this into relationship of kavana and machshav. Whether b'shnei minim, afil b'min echad, that's what we were arguing about. But to say that mamish misasek, where there was no avad malakit milibay, absolutely no one, this is such a Shmuel, absolutely no one would have been mechayev you in a misasek, would have been a different thing. That's how we answered the kashas in the Mishnah. Rava has a different answer to the kashas in the Mishnah today. We're two lines up from the middle of the daf. And Rava Amar likademi kabinai. The nafkamina over here, in the way to understand the machlokas for Rabbi Yezer of Yeshua, whether to understand it, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda, or to understand it, I'll leave it to Rabbi Shimon, or Rabbi Shimon Tzuri, is that the case is the question of him being makdim A to B, or B to A. So in other words, it's indeed two minim, both of which he wanted. And the shaila is, he did it in the wrong order. So therefore, the dinner over here is, nobody would have said that he was potter if it was a real misasa, meaning that he had in kavana to do one thing, he ended up doing a different thing. Different thing for sure. It would be potter. What did I say? Mitchayev. Nobody would have said in such a case it would be chayev. The case over here is that you did exactly what you wanted to do, but you didn't do it the way you wanted to do it, meaning in the order you wanted to do it. So each thing was done. So the shayla is, in terms of what I want to do, legabi, each pu'ula that I do, there's no problem. I'm doing what I wanted to do. But if I take the entire strategy of this pu'ula, I wanted to do first A and then B, and I ended up doing first B and then A, then you have a pagam and the extent of how connected he is to what it is that he's doing. Is this considered to be melachas b'chavos or not? There you have a machlokas, and that's the whole machlokas in the Mishnah over here. We don't care, according to Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, we don't care what order you do it in, because the end result is you did it. The only machlokas would be if it's two completely different shemas. Then you have a shayla if he's mocked in the wrong one. But if it would be the same shame, you wouldn't have akvada. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, he would say even if it was Mishem Echad, there would also be Chaylik Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. But in terms of a literal case of Misasek, there was no Machlokas Bechlam. This is a completely new approach to Mishnah. We're giving up now on our strategy about Malakit. We didn't have to deal with the strategy of Malakit. It's simply, it's the same idea, because to an extent, the order of events is to some extent a strategic issue as opposed to a tactical issue. Because in terms of each maisa that I do, really that shouldn't bother me what my overall intent was, since I did want to do this maisa. Okay? But if I take a look at the entire strategy, what were you about to do? I was about to do A and B. So then there's a relationship of A and B in what order. But it's not in terms of the malacha that there's an afkamina, correct? Somebody wants to do these two things. So in terms of the malacha, what do I care if he also wanted to do something else? He wanted to do something else first? Or something else last? Why did you said you wanted to pick apples and oranges? So you picked oranges and apples, who cares?
And what if they're the same me?
That's the other machlokas, whether even shcholos or levanos and so on. That all fits in the Mishnah. But the way Rav is learning the Mishnah, the issue is not that he picked white when he wanted to pick black. The issue is that he picked white when he wanted to pick black first, and then he picked the black. That's the plan. It's a completely different interpretation of the Mishnah, and therefore it doesn't necessarily intrude on Shmuel's definition of misasek, because here the shaila is, maybe that's not called a misasek bichlal. All I said was that if you wanted one thing, you ended up doing a different thing. even though that different thing was exactly as usher as the first thing, that nonetheless you would be potter. That's all I said. That's as rough, it's 100% true. But that's not the case in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, you did what you wanted to do. It's just you did it in the wrong order. And how do we know that there is concern for the order? Because, Tanya, indeed it says, Hayulafanav shtei neirot dolkot, v'nitkaven lechabot et zu. Suppose you had two burning candles. You wanted to put out one candle, and instead you were mechabot the other candle. So you blew on it, and your breath hit the wrong candle. So what you did, you wanted to do kibui, but not of that candle. Or you wanted to be madlik one candle, you went and you were madlik the wrong candle. You would be pater, because you didn't do your kavana. Lahadlik lechabot, if your kavana was to do an act of hadlakah. So you hear in this case you had two candles, one of which was a lit candle, and one of which was a burning, was a unlit candle. You wanted to put out the lit candle and light the unlit candle. And instead, you wanted to light the unlit and then put out the lit. And instead, you first put out the lit, and then you went ahead and you lighted the unlit. And you did this now, suppose you did it, b'neshima achas. So you were both mechav and madlik b'neshima achas. You would be fine. Because since you, with one breath, got one candle to burn and the other candle to be put out, even though the maisa, it wasn't in the correct order, it wasn't in the incorrect order.
By blowing, you lit the one candle out.
Yeah. Some learn that it means that he is a mocha. Yeah. Some learn that it means that one was next to the other, and by blowing, he blew the flame onto the other candle. That's what Baron Gashin is trying.
By gas, you can do that.
So maybe that's what it is.
It's like a top de vivo or mice?
No, it's all one mice. It doesn't require top de vivo. So there you would be chayiv. Says the Gemara, if it was b'neshima achas, you would be chayiv. Pshita, why not? I mean, you ended up doing what you wanted to do. No. Because I might have thought that even in this case it's not considered to be doing what you wanted to do. Because he had in Kavana to first be Madlik and then to be Mechabe. He ended up being Madlik and Mechabe simultaneous. Maybe simultaneous is not the same thing as what he wanted. So, say, Hu lahadlik mi karaboy, lebesod lechabot, v'chiyavad ma'aseh, but when he ends up doing what he did, kiba lebesod yidlik, first he was Mechabeh, and then he was Madli. So maybe he would be part of it. Kamashman, therefore, comes along the rise of the teachers, that Nehid Agdumi Lomakti, Machuri Lami Lomakti, that indeed he wasn't Makti, the Hadlok, the way he wanted, but he also wasn't Ma'akti, the Hadlok. So doing something simultaneously is not considered to be a violation of his strategy. But had it been in the opposite order, it would be a violation of his strategy. So you see here that, says Rava, you see here that I'm right in saying that the question of the overall strategy of the Hadlaka and the Kibbutz is indeed something that needs to be taken into consideration in terms of Melechus Bachshavas. And that's exactly what the case was talking about in the Mishnah. And therefore, it's no kash on Shmuel, because Shmuel wasn't referring to Kadima. Shmuel was referring to switching one act for another act.
Maybe it raised the issue of process and timing, and you could do things at once. And then Matish like came to it.
No, that was all different. That was Shabbos Yom Kippur and Ben Hashemash, I never raised it. No. That was a question of time extension.
When we talk about Malachim of Shabbos, are we just talking about Shabbos?
Yes. We have two completely different sets of Misasik. One is a set of Misasik that is Nogea Omalof, all Isurim in the Torah, because there is a question in doing something to be considered to be your Maisa. There needs to be a relationship between you and your action. When it comes to Shabbos, we have a different issue. We have Malachas Machshavas, which goes beyond the relationship of you and your actions. but which takes into consideration the extent of your understanding the action as well. For instance, in other words, it will come up, there will be tremendous napkaminas, and we'll see this again, but the napkaminas would come up in terms of your awareness of the implications of what's going to happen through your maisa. The question of Davashena Miskave, and so on. Where there can be tremendous napkaminas in terms of Shabbos type of misasi and other Isurim type of misasi. Furthermore, when it comes to other Isurim, your kavana to do Isur is sufficient, we're saying. The only time we're saying misasi over there is where you thought you were doing Heter. So then, in the fact that there was no kavana for Isur at all, means that you're puzzled from the unicorn. But if there's a kavana le Isur, so that's what our Mishnah is talking about. That would be nageya only cheta shekataba legabekatas and so on. Yeah, but in terms of Isser, you would be over by shekin by Shabbos. Shmuel is saying has nothing to do with Isser heter. They could be exactly the same alofa. If there would be two different things, if one would be grapes and one would be pears, you wouldn't be right. Because it's not malachas makshavas, not because you're not committed to doing an act of Isser. All right. So anyway, this is how Rava explains it, and it's very nice, which leads us into a situation that seems similar to this. Tana Rambam, Hachotek Yechalim B'Shabbat Chayav Chatat. Now, when you're Chotek Yechalim, essentially what you have over here is you have burning coals. You're now taking the coals out of your barbecue, and you're putting them into a container. Let's say you take it to your home to eat the house or whatever, right? Or a bed warmer or whatever. So what you do is you put in a shovel, you take what you've got, and you turn it upside down into a container. Now when you turn it upside down in a container, what happens is that the coals that were on top are extinguished, because they're now on the bottom, they don't get enough oxygen. The coals that were on the bottom, which weren't burning before, now burst into flame, because now they're exposed to the oxygen, right? So now, you went and you were chota b'chalim, says Rabbi Eliezer ben Rabbi Tzadik, so the Tanakhama says, you're chayav achat, that's fine. But Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Mishum Rabbi Eliezer ben Rabbi Tzadik, you're chayav shtayim. You're doing two separate malachas. You're being mechabet el yonot. The coals that were currently burning, when you put them into your bucket, you put them out. So you're over on kibui. And umav ir et atachtonot. And the ones that were currently on the bottom of the barbecue weren't exposed to the air, weren't burning. Now when you turn them upside down, you basically inflame them. So that means you're doing both the malacha of ignition and the malacha of extinguishing at the same time. Therefore, you should be chayav two separate chatas.
There would have to be some kind of heat being generated by the bottom ones when they're turned over in order to...
Yeah.
Something's got to be coming out of
it. It could be, but there's a difference between... Gemara Shabbos learns the difference between an actual flame and oxygenation that's not in a flame.
That is the burning coal, it's not...
If it's... There's no flame, there's no output of energy that is noticeable in the change of the gases that are coming out of it. That's not called Havara. Havara requires, at some level, even if it's very much close to the Yechalim. Remember that on Shabbos, it's not the chemical explanation that's important. It's the gross explanation that's important. Okay?
And if you didn't turn it over, there would be no phase. You just took it out and put it at the same angle.
Not any moving
angle. Well, I mean, yeah, that's a different issue, but it certainly wouldn't necessitate the extinguishing of one and the burning of the other. You could say that in moving it, you're going to be going that something will burn a little bit more and so on, which is what we're always afraid of. Shema Yachateb B'Gecholim, we say on Shabbos, we're afraid. But that's usually in context of cooking. It's a whole different issue. Okay, but here, just to keep things, I mean, here we're keeping things, it's almost a laboratory case. You can't get away with doing one or the other. You're doing both. So the Gemara wants to know, and here's how it's going to get into the question that we raised earlier, but my askina. Idiko mechavim lechabot al havir. Is your intent to do both of those things? So then, I understand. So why are, of course you're chayav. Why would the Tanakhama say you're only chayav one? And if he's not being mechaving lav here, if he has no intention of making something burn, all he wants to do, basically, is to take his coals and use the coals to keep hot. My time of the mandam mechayev tate. Why are we chayev too? I mean, there was no intent to do that. Rebbe Lozov, Rebbe Chanina, Damit Arvayon, Yidotchenit Karbin, Lechavot, Elyonot, Kidei Lahav Irat HaTachtonot. This does not mean what it seems to be. Like the language is a little bit confusing. What it means is that his kavana was only, basically, this guy is a metal worker, or he's a manufacturer of charcoal. And therefore, he is interested only in making sure that he has charcoal that's not burning. He is not interested in burning the other charcoal. It makes no difference to him, basically, one or the other. All he wants to do is get it out of the way. So therefore, he's interested in taking this pile of big coals that are currently burning on top now, and he's turning them upside down into a bucket because he needs them to be extinguished charcoal. Now, yes, it's true. He knows that in doing so, he's going to be burning the coals that already were little pieces of coal that had settled down on the bottom. They're irrelevant. He's not going to be using that. So he's accepting the fact that the tachtonot will end up being mevuarot. There's no tikkun in that whatsoever. So the Tanakhama holds it's a mekalko ba'avara. Mekalkeo ba'avara is also potter. Remember that we talked about this earlier. There's a machlokas about it.
It's always
No. Not necessarily. But so the Tanakhama holds that the mekalko, even ba'avara, we talked about ruining things in the malachas. I hate to trouble you, Sir President, but now is the time that we need some work. I would do it myself, but I know then you'd get all angry. So the Tanakhama holds even Bahavara, the kilkel is potter. Rebbe Eliezer, Rebbe Tzadik, Omer Chayam. Whereas Rebbe Eliezer, Rebbe Tzadik says, no, when it comes to Havara, you have a neat, unique situation together with Chovel. There's two cases that we spoke about being unique. When you cause a wound, when you cause Havara. So in that case, you would be, and therefore we're talking about a unique case. Thank you very much. V'chein Amar Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan also, when you heard this price, he said, look, I want it understood clearly. Benapach Shana. The price is talking about a metal worker. Tosfos on Amud Bez says the napach in this case does not mean a metal worker, it usually means, who requires charcoal, because otherwise you don't get steel. So he has to work with charcoal, and he doesn't want he needs carbon, basically. Okay. So Tosfos says here the napach means the guy who's manufacturing the charcoal. Okay, but whatever, I don't want to. We have so many issues here just in Ms. Asik that I hate getting off into other issues. But obviously, if you're thinking about this, you realize that there's a question over here as to what we thought originally. If it's innate in the pula of turning these coals upside down that they are going to burn, so then why were we asking, why are you putter? That's a typical case. It's a psychrasia. Right? Isn't it a psychrasia? So Elamai, a psychrasia is the very cute way that we talk about something that you have no intent for, such as the father who cuts off the head of a chicken for his child to play with on Shabbos as a puppet, and says, well, I never intended to kill it, I only wanted to cut off its head. You know, and that's basically what you have over here. I never intended to have it burn, I just turned it upside down. So Tosis is basically learning that indeed the issues over here are Nogeya Psikresha, but the question is it Mekako in terms of Lonecho, things like that. There are other perushim that we can learn here. That in other words, originally the Gemara thought we were talking about a case where it wasn't the Psik Reisha, and the Gemara answers it. Well, this is where the Aruch HaMeor learns. In the end, the Gemara comes out, it was a Psik Reisha, and therefore the only issue is in terms of Mikalko V'Havara, being taught to them. I'm trying to keep it as simple as can be so we can concentrate on the main issues of our Masechta rather than getting involved in things that are only peripheral. So therefore comes Rambam and he says, look, the case over here is talking about a Napach. And the Napach has zero interest in burning anything. On the contrary, all he's interested in is getting the charcoal. He wants the stuff not to burn. So the only thing that it's doing is being makalko, the other stuff that's burning. That's what kidei means. Meaning, he's willing to take the pain of the fact that he's being mavir at atachtonot. Not that he wants it, but what else are you going to do?
I'll ask him to
yeah. So you know that this has been one of the most mysterious halachas in my life. Until this moment, the Rabbi Yochanan came along, I had no idea what this is talking about. It doesn't make any sense. That's ingenious. We're talking about an apach, of course. Why didn't I think of that? Then I'd see that we could be indeed involved in the machlokas over here about whether Mekalk would be chayiv. Rabbani Barabin and Rabbi Hananya Barabin both say that the case over here is that indeed you had in Kavana both Lechabot Ulahavir. The question is, are you chayiv achatas for lighting a fire on Shabbos? Now we know that that's a big machlokas. It's the old machlokas. Tanakama holds like Rabbi Yossi, who holds that when the Torah said, Lo tavaru esh b'chol moshvotechem b'yom ha-shabbat, don't light a fire in your homes. Why did the Torah say, don't light a fire in your homes? Why did it say, don't turn on the TV? The answer must be to tell me that a fire is different than anything else. And therefore a fire you're less chayev on Shabbat. It's only allowed, not an issakarei. In which case you won't bring a chatas. So that when we said you're chayev achas, that was a sheet of Rabbi Yossi. Whereas we know that Rabbi Nosson sheet is, which is what Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Tzadok says, holds up over here. He holds up Rabbi Natan. Rabbi Natan says, Havara lechalek yatzat. You know why it said Havara specifically? Not because Havara is different, but because the Torah is using the case of Havara as the model for being chayev even on doing one of the lametet melachot. And that's the basis of the idea that you be chayev, a separate chatas for each different melacha that you do. How do we know that? We know that from Havara. And therefore, according to him, you'd be chayev two. One for Havara and one for kibui. And this is the reason we're bringing it in our sugya. Rava Amar Lahagdimika Beinayu. That the difference between the Tanakama and the sheet that it holds in your Chayev too, Elizabeth Bitzadek, is the question where you had in Kavana to first be Madlik, those that were on the bottom, and then to be Mechaber, and you ended up basically, when you dug into it, both happened simultaneously. Now the Shaila is whether the simultaneous is the equivalent of the same. Or the simultaneous means you did it out of order, which means one of them we ignore. Because that one was out of order. Once we ignore it, we can't say the other one's out of order. Because then it's the first one, so to speak, because the other one never happened. In which case, you're kind of one, and not two. Okay, so we bring this in here as a further exploration of Rav Shita, that Hagdama and Bevat Achat, is an issue that needs to be understood in terms of misas. Rava Shiamar, kegon shenitkavin lechabot, v'huvaru mi'alayim. Look, this guy only has in kavana for kibui, not to be mavir. And Rashi learns, he didn't realize that the ones that were on the bottom were going to burn. So therefore, the dover shenim is kavin. And the machlokas over here is gufa, what the din is by a dover shenim is kavin. But the Tanakama holds like Rabbi Shimon holds the Dover Shem Miskavin is Potter. And Rabbi Lezab, Rabbi Tzadok holds like Rabbi Yudah, the Dover Shem Miskavin is Chayev.
Even You know?
Even though it's a psik resha?
It's not a psik resha, according to Rashi. That's the mashmaut. That's the mashmaut. There's a lot of discussion. This is a famous Rukhani by the Rambam. Is all on this against on this Machalik in Dovashen and Miskavim by other halachas about Shabbos, right? Because we find Dovashen and Miskavim by other halachas as well. Yeah, it's very, whether a lack of a idea is considered to be Dovashen and Miskavim, not a separation. But the big problem in this segment is that the Gemara says something that isn't true. The Gemara says, Sarvalak Rebbe Yehuda, well, it's Dovashen and Miskavim Chayev. It never says anywhere in Shas that Dovr Shenim's Kavan is Chayiv. It says Dovr Shenim's Kavan is Osir. And it's clear from the Gemara in Shas that Dovr Shenim's Kavan is only Osir and Rabbonin. It certainly is not going to be Mechayiv Yuachatos. Therefore, Tosfos says, what the heck is going on over here? I mean, and what kind is a psik resha? This is not a, what are you talking about? So basically, Tosfos comes out with, look, the whole thing is really a misrepresentation. Actually, what's going on over here is that it is a psik resha. It's just that since you have no interest in it, and it's not achieving anything for you, it's considered to be a malacha shein tzrich l'gufa. You don't need it for what its purpose was. And therefore, since you don't need it for what its purpose was over here, in the Havara, so therefore you would be potter if you hold that a malacha shein tzrich l'gufa is potter. You would be chayev in the sense of malacha shein tzrich l'gufa is chayev. Malokashi Trichel Gufaaba is another issue that we haven't explored yet, and is also an outgrowth of the Dina Malakas Bakshavas. You want to hear this, or you want to read the? You want to catch? I see that you're looking in. Apparently, they explain that. Would you like me to say it? You want me to say it, or are you reading it? If you're reading it, I know you know.
No, I'm just reading
where we are. Oh no! Okay, fine. I'm sorry. No, because Barney is giving me the old, you know.
Well, make sure that the next section where you
make sure that you explain. So, malacha shena tzrich l'gufa means that I may want to do what I'm doing, but it isn't serving the purpose that it was initially construed for as a malacha. So it may serve some purpose, but it ain't the purpose that it's meant to be. So if I'm putting out a candle because I want to go to bed, that's not the purpose of putting out things in the Mishkan. We didn't put anything out to go to bed. We put out things in order to improve their carbon content and make them more flammable. Because it's when we're making the tilot for the menorah and so on, right? So therefore, if you hold a dovrek, a malachish, ein tzricha legufah, that meaning you need it, but not for its own purposes. You need it because you don't want it to be burning. You don't want this. It's nothing to do with your wanting the particular act of putting it out. You'd be perfectly happy if it wasn't lit in the first place. So the putting it out is not the issue. Nonetheless, there's a sheet of Rabbi Yehuda who holds that even though it may not be the issue, the bottom line is that it's burning. And therefore, in terms of putting it out, it becomes a malacha. You don't have to bring a chatas for it. So in this case, it's all very nice to say, well, I'm not burning it because I want to do something with the burning. Yeah, that's all very nice. But nonetheless, you're doing a malacha burning. So even though it's not for the purposes of the burning. So it's just, the burning is just there in order to, you know, use up the coal as far as you're concerned. It wouldn't make any difference.
Is this a difference in the position of burning itself is wrong, or burning for the purpose of using the mishkan?
Right.
Burning itself is the...
That's the question, whether the definition of the act... Remember that a malacha is not an act per se, it's a creative act. Right? Malacha are things that you do in order to achieve certain ends. The question is, how tight is the relationship between a certain end that you're supposed to be achieving with the malacha and the act? So that's the idea. It's never really the act per se, because otherwise it's not a malacha. It's not like other things, we're just doing something is awesome. So there always has to be an intent involved in doing it.
Creative.
But the question is, what is that intent? Right? What is the main purpose of this act as defined in the Mishkan for malacha? The main purpose of kibbutz was not defined as making it dark. The main purpose of kibbutz was defined in order to make carbonized wicks. So for any other purpose, it would be not Tzricha Leguf. The truth is that there's a little bit of Machlokes in Rishonim about how far to take the Ein Tzricha Leguf. I put them both together so you get a little taste of both of them. But this issue of, as far as you're concerned, the act didn't have to be done at all if you could have avoided the situation that required the act to be done, is the way that Rashi generally works. So let's say you're going to carry out a dead body on Shabbat. The way that's the classic Rashi. Rashi says, well, but as far as you're concerned, it'd be perfectly okay if the guy hadn't died in the first place. What do you got to carry out the dead body for? You're only carrying it out because you don't want a dead body in the house. So that's not considered to be the melacha of carrying. Because, you know, it's not as if you really want the body to be there and you take it from here to there. You have no interest in a dead body at all. Okay, so that's it. That's a much more complex, but I threw it into the boat.
Someone would cut the wick, and that makes it dark. So you're not creating any carbon anymore. Don't blow it up. You chop it off and throw it out. That makes it melacha, right?
Yeah, well, he's talking about in terms of the kibbutz, all right. And what would you do then?
That's no goes to arson.
So then it would be, yeah. So then
you
it
didn't
would
create any more carbon. You didn't.
So according to that Mandiyom, it would not be kibbutz. Exactly. That is the case. That is precisely the case that we're talking about. Fine. Tana Rabbana, hachoteg yechalim b'shabbat leitchamim be. Somebody is basically using a type of a charcoal holder. That is, there's a bed warmer, you know, there's a room warmer. It was the most up-to-date little, you know, odor-free, and so on and so forth. Very high-tech. I think they had it on the food store actually. So what he does, there's a little dial over there, you know, and you turn the dial and make it hotter, which actually stirs up the coals. So all he's doing is he's stirring up the coals to get a little bit more of the inside coals out against the outside of the heater so the room will get warmer. And what happened is there was still some oxygen in there and they were burning. So one man yom holds your chayiv, and the other one man just says your pot. The one who says your chayiv, he holds the malach shen etzrich of the gufa, your chayiv. But it's not a pot, because of a malach shen etzrich of the gufa, pot.
What?
Were you speaking
explained?
English?
No, it wasn't. How did it be explained? Gufurma Elehen? There's a little bit of oxygen inside, and what does that mean? He stirred it up, and they got fired up by themselves?
That's what he was trying to do. He doesn't want to burn them. That's bad for him.
Why?
He wants heat. He doesn't want them burning up fast. He's got coals that are hot. He doesn't want these coals to be burning. They're inside his little heater unit. He doesn't want
to
burn.
It's different than what we usually say, Chote B'cholim is in order to create heat. He's not trying to create heat. He's trying to move.
Who said that Chote B'cholim is in order to create heat? I don't know what you're saying, what we usually say. This is the case where he needs it for heat. This is a unique case. He only wants it L'Yit Chameim. Okay, over here he needs no Havara at all. He needs no Havara. So the Shaila is, are you Chayim, even though it's a Malach Shem Tzrich Leguf for now?
Are we still learning it's a...
In this case...
not a Tzrichation?
In this case, no. In this case, it is a Tzrichation. That's why we go to Malach Shem Tzrich Leguf. Your Rashi tells us learned. Tells us learned in the previous case. It's got to be talking about a Tzrichation that misrepresented the issue. Now, there is a teretz, a famous teretz, a very beautiful teretz of the Afiyaz, which basically is an attack not only on Rashi, but an attack on the Lashon of the Gemara. How did we suddenly come up to with the idea that Davshin Miskabin, Chaya? Well, the Gemara says clearly Davshin Miskabin is the most awesome on the Mirabbanim. So how is there any possible way out of it? The Afiyaz says, of course there's a way out of it. Because the din of Eino Miskavin is a function in Dinim Shabbos that is related to Malachas Mach Shabbos. Since you didn't think about this result, so therefore you can't be responsible for this result.
since they didn't intend it. I did think about it. I wasn't aware of it, but they didn't intend it.
Intended.
Right?
Yeah. Well, yes and no. Rashi understands in this case. The glory of your day. But whatever. I mean, that's a whole different discussion. I mentioned earlier in the book, right? This is Mechadish, the union of knowledge versus intent. But avoiding that question. Since over here there's the Shita that holds that a Havara, that if you're Mechalko, Behavara, you would be hired. So obviously, the Melechus Makshavus does not apply to Havara in the same way it applies to other things. Otherwise, how could you be chayav if you're being mekalkel?
You don't want to be
a mekalkel. Is not created. The Melechus Makshavus is always created.
Oh.
Right? So therefore, the same way that we said earlier in the Gemara, that if you hold that there's no din of mekalkel, then that may also mean there's no din of mishasik. So there's no din of mekalkel, then if you hold that dover shein miskaven, you're normally aser, here you could hold that it's mamish chayav. Okay, I mean, obviously I'm saying it over very simply, but he explains the mechanism of it. Okay, so it ties in, because we have distinctions. We already make distinctions in cases where we don't apply Melech Shabbos in the same way. Earlier we had it in terms of Chabura. Saying if we say, hold over here by Chabura, the same thing, it works out the same way. Normally, a Dover Shein Miskaven is a problem in Melech Shabbos. But since Melech Shabbos over here is not enough to tell me that you're potter if you're being makalko, it's also not enough to tell me that you're potter in the Dovshin Miskavim. Hadron alok, sofik okal, cheles!
Vi neles, eiton
I don't know, the tradition is pankon, but it's okay. Pankon is also kosher Yiddish. Orchal dam.
New flavor.
So until now, we were talking about Suffolk orchal chelav. Let's move on to some blood. We were talking about chelav before. Now we're talking about dam. By the way, the lesson of eating dam. Do you eat dam or do you drink dam? It's fascinating. I mean, Nafkamina is the sheer a revius, or is the sheer a kazayas? And there seems to be contradictions in the Gemara.
There's a blood sausage that the Europeans make. Right?
Yeah, that's right.
And they cook it.
That's right. And indeed, some are machalic, but it depends. There's four of vampires in Shtia, so that's how often revius. Although others learn that a vampire doesn't require revius, it's only the same sheer as Yom Kippur. But Mias Vedaita, he only has to feel satisfied and put the old one.
It doesn't mean a lot. More than that, that's what we said with the baby nursing, and the milky cow is like food. So it should be for a vampire, it should be
you're right. Problem. He's right.
Kahaki doesn't use the word. He starts with dam in Mishnah.
Really? Okay. I mean, that makes sense. Yeah. I mean, the truth is that we have no need to talk about alcohol dam. Other than keep it parallel with the Suffolk alcohol, because what the real purpose of this parak is not to discuss the dinim of your yediyah and the chalukah, but rather to discuss how to define the issur of dam. We saw before earlier in the Masechet, we have a lot of different discernment when it comes to dam. Different sukkim, we wanted to know why the Torah has to mention it so many times. The Mishnah really comes to clarify what is included in the Isser of dam. So the Orchal is entirely redundant, which is why it's in Bonet.
It's a formal issue. It's a sacred, gracious issue about dam and not dam.
Yeah. But anyway, the Rambam says the Shir is a Kesayis. Many people argue.
Did
the Gemara is say Revius. Okay, so Dam Shchita Bebehima Bechaya Uveof. So now, blood that comes from slaughtering a Behema Chayar Oof, whether they're kosher animals or not kosher animals, or the Dam of Nechira, or the Dam of Ikur. Now, what these things are really depends on how you understand the question of Ikur in Chulin. In other words, if you learn Dam Nechira simply means you stabbed it. You know, Okay, fine. So then it's going to die. You know, if dam ikur means the way that ikur is one of the five problems really of the way that Rashi is learning. The question is, were you oiker simani? You ripped out the simon with your hand. But instead of cutting it, you ripped out the esophagus and the trachea. Okay, so then how? Okay, so it'll bleed to death. I mean, see, but that's basically killing it. Tosus, who understands that we're talking about over here an a ikur in which nothing really has happened. The animal is suffering from a pathology in which the trachea is not attached with connective tissue to the cartilage at the top of the mouth. So over there, the Torah was machadish that if you do shchita on such an animal, the shchita is not kosher. But it's not that the ikur per se is something that you did in order to kill the animal. See, he learns here that the nature of the dam is that you shechted an animal whose simonim were akurim. So then everybody asks, why is that included in dam shchita? I mean, what would it have to be? Kosher dam shchita? And it's the same as any animal. You kill the animal. It's not to mean how you stabbed it. You cut the simonim. But in any event, that's how Tosafos learns in order to be consistent with the way we use the word in Chulin. Dam hakazaz is simply bloodletting. Now, in that case, you know, normally you wouldn't bloodlet to the point where actual dam hanefesh comes out. Dam hanefesh is the dark blood that supports life that is being pumped out now. So here, Tosafos explains, that's why dafka, in this case, we say shanishama yotz aba, because normally, in the Gemara, they distinguish between the colors of the blood. Right? As we'll see in Nida, that the different colors, if you're drawing blood, they were able to distinguish between the first cc that you draw, the second cc that you draw, and so on as it comes out, before it's exposed. So there were people, even at the time of the Gemara, that said, well, to people like me, that looks exactly the same. I ain't getting near these halachas. So, okay, I mean, there we distinguish the difference in terms of color. Here we're talking about blood that is basically pumping out under pressure, where the animal is fully alive and is losing its life. And that's normally not done in Hakaza, therefore, Tosafos, we want to establish that it's Dam Shan Shama Yotzabo, but the truth is, in all of the above cases, we're talking about Dam Shan Shama Yotzabo. So if you eat that kind of blood, that's what you're chayav on. Whereas Dam Hatchol, let's say you have blood inside of the spleen, or Dam Alev, blood inside of the heart. Now again, as the Rishonim point out, there's no difference between the spleen and any other organ. The reason that we take Dafka, here's the sheet that brings the Rosh, the reason that we're bringing over here Dafka, the spleen or the heart, is because over here these organs have a tremendous amount of blood in them. You know, there should be like loose blood. It's not Dam Alev, you know, the heart has blood in it that's in the chambers. And the spleen acts as a tremendous backup of, you know, blood. It's very bloody. So you might think that over there it's not considered to be like dam eivarim, or we would look at it as dam shanepesh yotzeva. Kamashman, even the dam of the troll of the dam of the lev. Dam beitzim, now from the Gemara, dam beitzim certainly seems to be talking about eggs. Mm-hmm. However, Rashi in his first trap says it's testicular dam, which is not what the Gemara is going to, but again, because you'll find a lot of blood in the testicles because it's the manufacture of sperm. And then he'll have to learn that when the Gemara talks about Dam Beit Sin, it's talking about a different Dam Beit Sin, which is in the Mishnah, which is a little strange, just points out. Dam Chagavim, Dam Hatamtzit, or blood of, it should say Dagim, or Dam of Chagavim. And indeed, it seems to be just missing here in our Girsa. As you take a look at the Yang Mishpah, he points out that it was clearly in the Girsa that we've shown it. And in the Gemara, we talk about Dam Dagim and Dam Chagavim, the same thing. So fish and Chagavim and locusts, or Dam Atamtzit, where you have blood that basically drips out of organs, out of meat after the Shechita. Ein Chayavim Alav, there is no Chiyav on this. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you are Chayav Karas, even on Dam Hatamtzit, and he learns that out from the pasuk.
So that's a speech that's different than the Dhanavara. It's a little, is that correct? It's a little.
Not actually. I mean, not really. I mean, it ends up being exactly the same. Well, look, it just means the blood that's coming out now after the Dhammanet, which is Yotze, so it continues to drip out. It's not no longer under pressure. But Dhamme Vorim literally is Dhamme Vorim, where it's in the organ and drips out and dribbles out.
Things differentiate between all these different types of
Dhamma. Huh? Why? We're not defining it. Tana Kol Dam Lo Tochir. It says in the Torah, Kol Dam, you shouldn't eat any Dam. Shemeli Afil Dam Al-Fishtayim. You might think that refers to even Dam of primates. Now, there's a whole discussion why we distinguish primates when we're really talking about humans. You know, and there are those that want to say that primates in general, the halacha distinguishes between them and animals. It's fascinating. It's all the Tiferes Yisrael talks about orangutans, green white men. It's very cute. That's but anyway, Mahalkishtein is always taken to mean human.
It means man of the floor.
Right. I mean, it's called in Hebrew. He calls it the not Ish, the what's it called? He doesn't use the word Adonai. Adonai Aliyah.
It's explaining the
Mishnah,
though, right?
That
has to do with the
Mishnah. No, it's, I won't. Okay. Let's wait until we see. So let's assume here it just means humans. You might think that includes human blood, in which case it would be also to be a vampire, or blood that is found in eggs, or in locusts, or in fish. That should be included too. Talmud Lomai, therefore, it continues the pasuk. La'of. So in other words, what dam am I referring to? Birds and behemot. Ma'ofu behemam yukadim. Now there's something that's unique about birds and behemot. What is unique about them? Well, take a look. First of all, yesh behem tuma kala v'tuma chamura. First of all, they have times at which they are usher only because they are a foodstuff. Not usher, I mean tame, because they're a foodstuff. They were makabel tuma. There's also times, if it's an avela, that it would be matame on its own, a tuma chamura. Even if you carry it, you're telling me it's matame, you're begotten. That's called tuma chamura. That's called severe tuma. So they have both options, depending on whether they're an avela or they're regular food. And yesh ben isur ve'eter. You also have times in which they're aser, if you didn't do shkita, or eter, if you do shkita. And they're all types of meat, they're flesh, they're min basar. So too, of course, yesh ben tuma kala v'tuma chamura, you'd have to have things that could be both, only foodstuff, whereas that doesn't include humans, because even if you're a cannibal, the human that you're eating is v'tame tuma chamura. You'll never get a case where a human is only a foodstuff. He's also going to be a corpse if you're eating him, right? In which case, he doesn't fit this bill. So, dam ha'alkishtayim, yesh behem tuma chamura, b'nei behem tuma kala. So that excludes humans. It excludes dam shratzim, because shratzim don't have tuma chamura, because they can't be matami, you to be matami, you're begotten, b'masa. And they can't include eggs that have in them blood. Shema min basar. I mean, they're not a type of flesh. And dam dagin and dam chagavim certainly are yotzu. Shikulo heter. Instead of here, they have to be both heter and iser. Dagin bechagavim is kulo heter. The Gemara is going to ask what that means later on. And therefore, it says la'of l'beima. And la'of l'beima are both necessary. Let me just break up the daf over here in the recording. We'll do it and start the next daf.